Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's poppin'? This is Casanova Rudd, and you're tuned in to GQ Palace.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby. Take a picture. Without the fame, I'ma still be me. Whether the streets or I'm on TV, in the rock or I'll be a
Sharp Cannon Kodak, Top Coat Cashmere, Will Camo Kojak, wrist and neck, drip drop, clip pop, hold that, grown man, hand up, stand up, know that, wasn't always rosé, click at Viva, Miami for the weekend, eating, Shima, pull up, valet park car, Bima, remember being flat broke till I had Enoch, had to get my change up, change up, like a flat tire side of the road, the right time with the right grind, climbing the roads, rock diamonds that glow, ice blinding the shows, heard lights to slide in the hole, it's my way or the highway. Iron the toe, yes, I'm a pro. Press iron the foes, talking what I walk, talk, never the foe. Yeah.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. Just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Chick like who him, in the low bubble, trouble with the low brim, running no huddle, double the score, Tom Brady, Mercedes, settle the floor, won't settle with all, middle finger the loss, parquet, bread and butter, but I hunger for more, look closer, I'm the one you tried to ignore, mimosas, what I said, starting my mom, while these other niggas playing, Q playing the show, beachfront, she can front if she want, trust. Cause never will I change my course or rearrange my thoughts to be arranged in court. But no dame, it's public. I'm no lame, know how to get dough, get low, the flow flame. My desire's fire, saliva, propane. Q, turn it up, flick, the bitch is always the same. Yeah.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. It's just because you see me doing big things, baby.
Big Chris Wallace, any night, take flight, St. Thomas, first class recliner, wine and empanadas, state sky high, call the frequent flyer mileage, touchdown land, couple grand like Cuba, six shirt cooler, something like Zamunda, blue water, white sand, Rona's in the cooler, shoot Mr. Dos Equis, come correctly, chilling crushed linen, mocha loaf is Giuseppe's, huh, they told me that it can't be done, so why I'm feeling like a champion, thought you was fancy, huh, guess you drew like Nancy Dunn, shed a tip for every lap he run, real rap, cause on track, he L Cappy son. Hand out, can't hand you none. Guess it happens, lights, camera, action, one. Deuces.
You never really noticed me. Now all of a sudden you wanna talk to me. It's just because you see me doing big things, baby.
All right, Dons and Divas, welcome back. I am your host, Rich Money, and welcome to another episode of GQ Palace Radio. Now, before we get started, I want to take this time out and thank the man above, because without him, none of this would be possible. Now, last weekend, we had a blast from the past. You know, we had a little thing going on. So we had to reschedule certain things, you understand. So tonight, we're going to get it back started. Now, if you want to listen to the blast from the past of last week's episode, you can go to Blog Talk Radio and type in GQ Palace. That's G-E-E-Q-U-E Palace, and check out the archives. Now, let's get it started with tonight, because we got a banger going on for y'all. Tonight, we have KK with the DQ general question. Then we have up-and-coming artist Diamond Perry, and we're going to be playing her smashing single, Flaws. She's also doing a lot of things in film directing. She got a sitcom coming out. She got a talk show about to hit the air in February of this spring. She's doing a lot of things. After Diamond Perry, we have one of the biggest promoters in New York, My Swagger Is Crazy. And he will be on here tonight giving out tickets to his New York Bash event that's going on at Sweet James December 31st. So make sure you tune in for that. Then, after My Swagger Is Crazy, how we're going to do this, I will be interviewed. Me, myself, Rich Money, will be interviewed by executive producer Lavina Polite. So y'all can actually know what's going on with me, what tracks I did back in the days. I've been in the music industry for 20 years. I'm going to fill y'all in with all that. So I don't want to waste no time. We want to get this started. So I want y'all to stay right there. We'll be right back with KK and her GQ general questions. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter Baby. Dons and Divas. Welcome back to GQ Palace Love and Entertainment. And with me right now, I have KK with the GQ General Question. KK, welcome to the show. Hello, KK. Are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
I'm okay. And yourself?
I'm good.
You good? You sure? You sound like you got a lot on your mind right now.
I do. I have a lot on my mind.
Okay. Would you like to tell listeners a little something about yourself?
Okay. I'm a single mother of two. I'm an office manager for a computer technology company. I like to have fun, go to the beach, and kind of hang out a little bit.
Okay. Now, what's your topic for the... You like to go to the beach? Oh.
I do. I like to go to the beach all year round.
Oh, wow. Okay. I ain't mad at you. You must live in one of those sunny parts of the area, you know, where it's hot all day, nice beach weather. Because we can't do that out here in New York. But anyway, what's your topic for this evening?
My topic of the evening is, at what point do you decide to get out of an abusive relationship?
That's serious right there.
There's all types of abusive relationships. There's mental abuse and physical abuse. You know, at what point do you decide you've had enough and it's time to go?
A good point. Now, what made you choose that specific topic?
Well, I chose it because my relationship was mental. He was always, you know, telling me, oh, you know, you're not going to make it without me, you know, you're not going to be this, you're not going to be that, you know, you can't pay your bills, you can't do, you basically can't live without me.
He used to
tell me that all the time.
But he was doing that to you when
I needed him, and you know, and I, for a while I was like, wow, you know, am I going to be able to pay the bills? You know, am I going to be able to make it without him? You know, I used to think about that a lot.
Wow.
So
right.
I decided to. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, Dons and Divas, phone lines are now open. The number to call, 646-200-3838. Press 1 to give your point of view on KK's topic or stay on the line to hear the show. Me personally, I feel no one should be involved in an abusive relationship, whether it's mental, physical, regardless of the fact, no one should actually put themselves and that whole of being involved in that type of relationship. No one deserved that type of treatment. Now, like we said, you was put in that relationship, you was put in that situation, you understand? And how long did it actually take for you to get out of it?
Oh, I stayed for a while. I just got out of it. It was a long-term relationship, and I decided that I had enough, and I was like, you know what, I can do this. And I'm doing very, very well by myself.
But what actually made you be like, okay, you know what, it's time for me to go?
I wasn't happy. You know, I wasn't happy with how things were going. You know, we have children together, and I was like, okay, you know, let me just hang out for a little bit because of the children. And I was like, you know what, forget this. My kids are not happy. I'm not happy. You know, I don't want to deal with his mental abuse anymore. So it's time for me to go.
Wow.
It's time for me to go. It took me longer than it should have, but I left.
Well, it's better you got done with it now, you know. We have a call on the line. We're going to bring them on. Okay. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right, we have KK on the line.
Hi, KK, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks. My point of view on that, soon as it happened, break camp. Nobody deserves to be, you know, treated with disrespect or abuse, period. You know,
okay.
Once, I mean, yeah, But if it's a continuous thing, get out. Get out as soon as possible. You know, by all means, if you have to go to a shelter, get out and do what you got to do for self. You know, because if you think about it, it's not going to get any better. You know, and like I say, if it's continuously happening, it's not going to work. I don't care how hard you try, it's just going to constantly be the physical and mental abuse.
You're right about that, because I tried for a long time, very long.
You know, you can't make anybody do anything other than what they want to do. And in that situation, they're not trying to do, you know, they are not caring about your feelings.
Right.
At the end of the day, you know, so, yeah, I've been there, done that, you know, and it's not a good feeling at all. It hurts. But you got to be the bigger and better person and say, you know what, I don't have to live like this anymore.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is it.
But it takes some people a little bit longer, even though they realize it, that, you know what, this is not right. I deserve better. You know, I deserve better. And it takes myself, I'm speaking for myself, it just took me a longer time than it should have.
Right.
You know, some people will say, you know what, I'm getting ready to leave now. But then you got other people like myself saying, well, you know what, let me just work it out. Let me try. But like you said, it doesn't work.
You know, and usually it's not good for you to put yourself into that predicament. Sometimes it's best to get out sooner than later, you know. But we have another call on the line. We're going to bring them on for that. I want you to stay on the line, okay?
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you have Caitlin on the line. Did you hear the topic for the season?
Yes, I heard the topic or whatever. This is SC, by the way. I called in Wednesday night with Tammy's show. And I just want to piggyback on the hey, how's everybody doing?
Hey.
I just want to piggyback on the topic what the young lady was saying on the show. You know, believe it or not, mental abuse happens more in more relationships than it happens to men more than women. And, you know, my second ex-wife, that was what she was doing, you know, mentally abusing me. You know, she tried to play the guilt card. Always made me feel guilty about her kids, which were not mine. I was the only one working, you know, just starting out being a truck driver. I was not only taking care of her, but taking care of the kids, taking care of the house as well. You know, she's calling me, this is happening, that's happening, so-and-so. It's making me feel bad, making me feel like, well, something I'm not doing, that she's calling me and telling me so much about the house. But you know what? At some point in time, and I look at it now, and it's funny, because, you know, I didn't see it at the time. And you know, we're all strong people. And when you're under that glove, you really don't see what's going on. But I came up, and I was like, you know something? You know, there was one day I got tired, and I decided to leave. And I had threatened her before, and then when I threatened her, but I stayed, that's when she's like, oh, well, he ain't going nowhere. And that one day, I talked about something, you know something, the way things are going right now, I'm up here working hard, sacrificing, and as selfish as I am, that's what I'm doing, and not being appreciated. I can do bad by my damn self. I left, when I left her, you know, that was like the turning point. Her, she's like, well, wait a minute, you know, he just up and left, and I'm not coming back. She, you know, she got found me on Facebook a few years back. I'm so sorry, this, that, so I'm sorry. She don't hear everything. I'm like, listen, you're talking about something that happened in 2008. You know, it's 2011, 2012. I don't care about that. But, you know, the one thing about it, you know, I could be civil with you because, you know, I don't have it in my heart to hold grudges and stuff, but don't come back to me. You know, let's get back together. You know, that no, it's done. Because the thing about it is, it's just like a leper. They never change their spots. And if they do it to you one time and have done it so many times and gotten away with it, you go back to them, they're going to do it again and again and again and again. Why? Why? It's the fact that you allow it. Just like someone said earlier, that a person will only do to them what you allow them to do of you. And with that being said, if you allowed it, and they got away with it so many times. Oh, I'm sorry. This, that. He ain't sorry, because if you're sorry, you wouldn't have done it. Just walk away. So sometimes it's better it's better for you to go off and be by yourself. You know, you're going to struggle some. You're not going to have that extra support you used to have. You're not going to have that lifestyle or whatever. But you know what? You got your peace of mind.
I have a peace of mind.
Yeah, well, I know you do. We all do it, you know, because as a man, it's embarrassing to say that, oh, I was abused by a woman or whatever. But see, it's not a woman hitting me. It was the new abuse where I'm just going to get in your head and play with your mind and try to make you stop thinking how you're supposed to think as a man. And, you know, it's just trying to control somebody. That's what physical abuse is.
Oh,
when they control you, they want to try to beat you down and make you scared of them. So when they come mentally, you know, you have your peace of mind and everything, but they have to play on you somehow, some way to gain control. You know,
right.
When it comes to an abusive relationship, if whenever you're in doubt and you have to go to someone outside of your relationship to talk to them about what's going on with your relationship, it's time to pack up and leave right then and there.
Most definitely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm, 'cause you're getting people involved. SC, stay on the line. We have another caller. I want to bring them on, okay?
All right.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Did you hear the topic for this evening?
I heard the topic. I'm kidding, honey. How are you?
I'm okay.
I'm kidding. What's up? Listen, KK, your question is very good. You mentioned that it's the mental and physical. In addition to mental and physical abuse in a relationship, there's verbal. And
right,
a lot of women, you know, and men, verbal abuse takes place on both spectrums. I like what SC said, because it's not only women who get abused in relationships, men do also.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you, in the beginning you said, when is it time to go? And it kind of reminded me of R. Kelly's song, When a Woman's Fed Up. Because when a person finally gets fed up, because you have your friends might say, oh, get rid of this loser. But, you know, people's feelings be caught up in relationships. And I think it's when those feelings are finally killed is when the person say, I'm out of here. You know, when they can look at that person and say, I feel nothing. I'm not attracted to you no more. Girl, bye. You know,
right.
And then you're out. But the thing is people are only going to do what you allow them to. And
exactly.
The thing is, it's like when you get a dog, right? Rottweilers are known for this. They will test their owner to see where they can go with you. You slap the hell out of them, they're going to sit down, and they're going to be an obedient dog. But when you keep letting people skate on certain things, you know, they tend to do it more frequently. So it's like my grandma said, you got to nip it in the bud. Okay? Now, in regards to that comment about a leopard never changes its spots, I'm going to have to disagree with that, because people aren't able to change. But it takes, that change has to take place within them. They have to desire to change. They have to be unhappy with the person they are and see their own flaws in order to make the necessary adjustments to change. So I do believe people can change. However, however, it's hard when people become so rooted in their behavior, you know, and KK, I understand with you. You were more concerned with the financial stability, you know, knowing if the breakup happens, you might have trouble supporting your family. But sometimes, you know, like you said, that peace of mind supersedes the financial aspects. If there's
a
will, there's a way. And if you have, and if there's a will, there's a way, and God always make a way. I've been married for 15 years, honey, and it took one episode and my husband was dismissed. I didn't look back, okay? I'm not thinking about the financial aspects, and I'm doing just fine, just the way I've always done in my complete life.
Okay.
You know?
All right, Kitty, give me 1 minute. I want to bring somebody else on the line.
Okay.
I want you to stay right there, okay? Hello, Cole, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Rachel. Good evening, everybody.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, Rachel. Hey, Rachel.
Oh, good. I heard the conversation. I didn't hear the exact topic, but by the conversation, I could tell pretty much what the topic consists of.
Okay, wait a minute, Rachel. I hear a lot of stuff in the background. Somebody's got a lot.
Exactly.
Okay, go ahead, Rachel. Go ahead.
Abuse a relationship? Is that what the topic is about, abuse in a relationship?
Go ahead, KK.
Okay, the topic is, at what point do you decide to get out of an abusive relationship?
At what point do you decide to get out of it?
Well, everyone is different. Everyone is different. You get some people who are zero tolerance, and they will get out ASAP as soon as possible. Then you get some, I'm going to use myself as an example. I was in a relationship for a long, long time, and I suffered from what is called relationship addiction. So I allowed all the abuse to go on and kept finding reasons to stay in because I was so insecure with myself and so depressed. And, you know, at times I thought it was my own fault. The advice that I would give would be to get out. As soon as you see that first red flag, get out.
Yes.
You don't want to subject yourself to that. I had two kids. I had to bring my kids into it. And when I opened my eyes and realized it wasn't too late, and I'm grateful because my children saw all the good work that I did do. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I got out. I wish I had gotten out much earlier, but it was in excess of 20 years before I got out. But
okay, can I ask y'all a question? I've been in these long term relationships. What actually makes y'all want to stay? If y'all know y'all being abused like this, what makes y'all want to stay in this relationship? Because y'all know the person can't love you. So, me, y'all letting them break y'all down to a point of, you know, lowering your self-esteem. Why would it take you so long to get out of it?
Yeah. At that time, I didn't see it. My self-esteem was low before I even got into the relationship. I was self-abusive myself, so it was. I allowed it to be okay for somebody else to abuse me. You know, it was another excuse for me to not abuse myself even, you know. Okay, I don't got to put myself down because somebody else put me down. I don't got to, you know, beat myself up and do something stupid because somebody else is already doing it. So, but it made it even worse. It made my self-esteem even worse. It made my life even worse. I'm grateful that I got out. I'm grateful that I have my sanity. Wait.
You know what? What you said about self-esteem, usually people who try to abuse other people, they have a low self-opinion of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then they try to come off as the dominant or the prize in the relationship, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. And see, a lot of times, like, you know, you have women that comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors, right? And it's
exactly.
Sad because sometimes, like, I find that women who may be on the heavier side sometimes tolerate more abuse from these idiots, you know, instead because they don't have the high value that they need to put on themselves, you know. And the thing is it's different strokes for different folks. So
yes.
What one might find to be trash, another view it as a treasure. So I think
exactly.
It all boils down to one's personal self-evaluation of themselves. And I think everybody has different tolerance levels. You know, me, I'm kind of zero tolerance, for real. You know, and don't try to swing on me because you're going to be getting up off the ground. That's another thing. You know, so you jump on me. I remember when I was 16, right? My boyfriend was real jealous. He said, don't go out. I'm heading to the Roxy's to get my swerve on. I get up. He slaps me, and honey, he must have thought, I was like, I almost felt like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. I turned around, and the next thing you know, his lips was bigger than his face. You know what I'm saying? Don't you ever, and that was it for him. We ain't had that conversation no more. It reminded me of The Bodyguard with Kevin Costner. I don't want to have this conversation again, you know? But I think it boils down to people having to stand up for themselves, men and women.
Right.
Well, you
and
know,
if it's loud, I'm
in,
shopping, y'all, so I'm sorry.
Well, I come back in on the funk, men or whatever. I mean, you know, I'm not a punk or nothing like that. It, you know, I'm from the South, you know, very sentimentally and all down South and stuff. You know, it's a matter. Well, come on, I am. But
no, I'm talking about being a punk from the South.
Oh, no, no, hell no, I'm not no punk now. You know, you know, the thing of the matter with my ex-wife, you know, I wanted to be married. It wasn't the fact of her, it was more of the children, because I it's not that I can't stand kids, but you know, I'm just a selfish person, and it's nothing wrong with being selfish. If people recognize you selfish, and you know, you're doing what you do for yourself, but I never thought I could be, you know, a good dad and everything else, so and so. And I was a great dad to her kids. It's just a matter of fact of I stuck around because of them, but you know, I wasn't being appreciated by her. And you know, I recognized it from a good ways back, but I was in denial. So it got to a breaking point where I said, look, I have had more than enough, and I'm not going to take it no more. The thing of the matter is, I still was with her. I was cheating. I was like, you know, I'm going to find a way, a smooth way to try to get rid of her. So, you know, when I saw her cheating, I'm like, shoot, okay, well, hey, I got what I need to leave. The thing of the matter is, the way I stand right now, I kind of have a wall up, and I don't hold, you know, I'm not a bad man or nothing like that. I don't hold anything against anybody because, you know, I'm a people person. I can't make anybody pay for the mistakes somebody else made, but I can recognize mm-hmm. the signs. And I recognize the signs, and I'm like, look, this woman right here, she's always secure. You know, I got to be all up under her. She, you know, she's trying to monopolize my time. She, you know, asks too many questions. And the thing about it is this right here. If I fall back into that path again for letting her try to control me, cause that's all it is. That's what results to abuse, is the fact that a person is trying to control you. And I know what y'all saying about a person can't be changed now if they want to change. But when you have people who are abusers and users, why would they want to change? Because all they're doing is looking out for them and trying to get their way. And when they don't get their way, mm-hmm. they come up and, you know, I'm going to smack you upside your head. I'm going to call your names. I'm going to manipulate you, something like that. It's time out for it. You know, you can see the tendencies and the patterns from, like, 6 miles out. But it's all on the matter of what you're willing to accept. So, you know, the way I stand right now, you know, hey, if that's what you do, I'm not even going to say nothing. You're just going to see the back of my head and my tail light. When you don't see me again, you call me and I don't pick up the phone. You know, when you IM me and I don't IM you back, when you hit me on Facebook and say, why aren't you talking to me, and you see me talking to everybody else, yeah, that's your answer why. You know, I'm not going to waste my time with foolishness. If you want to be controlling, you want to be abusive, go ahead. But you can do it by yourself, not with me.
Right. I haven't experienced the physical abuse, but the mental abuse to me hurts as well.
Yeah, because you know the thing about it, it's like a snowball. You know, the snowballs and all on Bugs Bunny and Pete Panther, they're kind of funny, but it's true. It starts out as a little ball at the center of the hill, but it's gonna roll and roll, and as it continues to roll down that hill, it's going to pick up in the masses.
Damn.
But you know, when that snowball does crash, it's going to have a big impact, and that's what's going to end up happening so far when they get so far mental and they can't get anywhere else. Now they come to physical. Yes.
You know what I was thinking too, because I had like my cousin was married to this white girl, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're in Florida. Mind you, she was Ronald Reagan's like third cousin, but this is the mm-hmm. kicker. In the relationship, to me, she looked like a straight-up dyke, and she looked like a truck driver. She was so corny.
All right, come on now. What you got against truck drivers?
No, I'm just saying. So the thing was, you know, and she was, you know, he was a nice guy, hardworking, and the thing is that even in their relationship, there was times when she would go straight call him a nigger, the N-word,
oh,
and
yeah.
stuff like that. And I'm like, you know, and see me, him being like my brother, I was ready to take a flight down there and beat the brakes off of her. But it was like, okay, just get your thighs. It was like, wow, you know, and this goes on even in groups, and when people marry different nationalities, like you, a Spanish person or something like that, it's like mm-hmm. even that kind of stuff sometimes happens. You know, and take place, you know?
Yeah, you're right.
But it's just messed up.
That was the thing with my ex-wife. You know, I was the salt of the earth when I first met her.
This
she was in a bad way, and I was able to help her out of that. But then, you know, she just mad, oh, you nigger so-and-so, okay. And then, you know, I'm calling names back,
oh,
and I look back on that, I'm looking like, what is the point of calling the names? Because the thing about it, that wasn't my name when she first met me. That wasn't my name when she was to floss me off to her family and everything else and got her kids calling me daddy. But the funniest part about it, when we look back a few years down the line, I wasn't a nigger when you found me on Facebook trying to trick me and thinking I'm going to be dumb to come where you are in Oklahoma. I'm like, you know what? Remember, I'm a nigger, so, you know, I can do that. And I'm sorry, I don't want to ask you. I'm an N or whatever. So
okay.
With me being an N, remember, you don't want an N. So you stay your way, I'm going to stay mine. I just want you to see me not doing better without you. I
so
see you in the worst rut than what you were when I first met you.
Bye.
So she was maybe trying to push your buttons as well.
Yeah, exactly.
She wanted you to react in a physical manner.
Right. Because her baby daddy, you know, all he did was go around and cheat on her and had like 12 kids already when she met him. Then, you know, her husband, he was abused. You know, but the fact of the matter is, a lot of people, when it comes to abuse, believe it or not, they, you know, women always talking about finding a good man. Men always talking about finding a good woman. But a person really does not know how to appreciate a quote-unquote good significant other because of the bad people they've had in their life leading up to that point. Now, some do. A lot do. But, when you know,
mm-hmm.
you just like to say, you give a person an inch, they take a mile, and that's what happens in a lot of times. But pretty much, it's what you allow. And looking back at myself, I allowed a lot, which is like I'm like, now, I'm not allowing it. I'm not up for it. It's no debate, discussion, or fight. If that's you're going to do what you do, but you can do it without me.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And I definitely agree with you on that. But some people, they know the button you can push.
There's a lot of men out there that won't admit that they're being abused by women. They just go through, you know, take it and just go through it. So I give you big props, SD, for even sharing that with us.
You know why? Because men have pride. A lot of men have pride. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
you go when you and they and your boys or whoever you want to call your boys, your crew, your friends or whoever, they start, you know, looking at you in a different way.
So ask them for a second.
They start looking at you in a different way, like, all right, this cat is soft. Letting this girl do this to him and
yeah.
stuff and you know, and to me that's what brings a lot of guys. Yeah, they pride. That's what brings a lot of guys to do certain things to
see
me.
I mean, you know, they're going to end up taking more than normal because, you know, their pride and ego, you know, it's like a big issue, you know, because I mean, I think I've told this story before, but I have a friend. She actually slit her husband's throat. He didn't die.
Wow.
But instead of him having her locked up, he said somebody else did it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You know, and
wow.
I'm serious. She's still, don't let her get the alcohol in her.
Nanny,
it's a wrap.
Just call me when
it's a wrap. Once she get that alcohol in her, you know, she talks about his daughter. She talks about his grandkids. But he better not say nothing about her kids, which I've never heard him say anything. You know.
Oh.
But it's just the craziness, like, you know, I've noticed men do take abuse. You know, I've been in a couple of abusive relationships, you know, but I'm a fight back. You might whoop my butt, but you're going to know that I've been there.
Nah, you're going to get it.
I mean, you know, it was like my ex-husband. I was like 4 or 5 months pregnant with my daughter. You know, and this fool had me bent over the couch trying to choke me. And just lo and behold, I seen that back. I got that back. Look up right.
You
should have
called me. You should have called me, girl. I would have came over and shot him.
This was in North Carolina. I'm serious. You know,
you know
he
what?
Never
Y'all...
ever tried anything else. Never.
Let me tell you something. When I was a kid, right, my mother was 5'5", very petite. And she was seeing her new person, right? And I'll never forget, she was cooking, and dude wanted to raise up. He like 6'2", right? So he raised up, and so my mom's in the kitchen cooking with a big butcher knife in her hand. She was like, yo, back up. So he kept trying to come at her. She said, I'm telling you, one more step, and it's a wrap. honey, he lost his eye that night. That was over, and they ain't never had a problem. And I was just like, wow, because she, I know her, and when she says something, believe her when she tell you. You know, and the next thing you know, he's screaming and having to go to the emergency ward. And it's funny because his family was from California, and his mom stayed at our house while she go to the hospital where my mother done put your kid's eye out. But, you know, and it's funny, and then they stayed together until he died. I mean, come on. I was like, wow. But that was the beginning of the end for him, you know. And after that, she was punking him in a relationship crazy. Like, oh, my goodness. That just totally sent her to the other side. He was getting slapped up. Yo, get out. You know, it was just crazy. I was like, wow. You know,
did you look at him different after that?
Oh, he was a straight, you know what. He was weak. Oh, my goodness.
Why?
He was totally, because he was weak. You know why he was weak? And listen, and that's my mom's, and I love her, but she was straight up dogging him. Like, not dogging him, but he was real weak. Like, he became a cream puff.
Okay,
it was
so
crazy.
Now, okay, now if he would have physically did something to her, you would have been upset.
No, we would have jumped him.
Okay, so mainly.
What I'm saying is he should have broke out because he wasn't a good fit for her. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't a good fit. I just believe that if you have to, listen, I believe this. That's one thing when I got married, there was none of that. First of all, there was none of that yelling in the house and all of that rough stuff. Especially in front of my son, because you'll be definitely picking out your toe tag and your name, get your name plate for your body bag. So my house was always very mellow and well-managed. But the thing is that, like I said, abuse come in all different forms.
Yes,
it comes in mental, verbal. And most of the time, it's the subtle abuse that deteriorates a relationship. You know, sometimes people are better off coming out with the big shouting match, get it off, instead of people holding stuff in, you know, letting it fester. But still in all, everybody, when you get a certain age, you should be able to sit down and have a sensible conversation. My son is calling me. What do you want?
But when you hold
just
stuff
give him
in,
what he wants.
See, the bad thing is when you hold stuff in and you hold too
what?
Much of it in, when it comes out,
right,
it's going to come out in a
yes,
rage
horrible.
That you wouldn't believe.
Right. And you may
exactly.
end up in jail or hell, seriously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because you've held it so long and too long.
Listen,
so you don't
just deal
hold
with
nothing
the
in.
I mean,
I'm right here. Just
make
deal
sense.
With that, and I'm right here. Oh, my God.
Hello?
Listen, I'm sorry.
You got to deal with, you know, we don't want child abuse coming on the line or nothing. No. We don't want to be on the line. We don't want child abuse coming on the line. We don't want you to be yelling at the child.
Yeah, it's all harmless, no matter what. We got to call. We got to call.
You know, yelling at the child. We don't know what's going on. You know?
Boy, he's blowing my phone up, calling me. Now he got sneakers but sitting up there with a bunch of jerseys. Yo, get a job. Anyway.
KK, seriously, it's a blessing that you are out of the situation now, even
oh, yes,
though, you
absolutely.
Know, you may have been in it for so long, but, you know, that's one hump you don't have to worry about now.
Exactly.
Right.
And you
know
what? Now you're in a position from what, you know, you have a nice little career going, which is good. And
mm-hmm.
let me just explain something to you. When you do decide to really take up time with someone, they have to pass the children. Always put your kids first because your
yeah,
home,
absolutely.
A kid's home is their haven. They should never feel like a stranger to their home. What are you?
I agree.
Colin.
Yeah.
And so if
I
he
would
don't,
never, I would never put them in. I would never put them in that
exactly,
situation
some,
anyway.
Some,
I would never do that.
Right, but some people
yeah.
put their
not,
kids on the back burner.
I'm a package deal.
Exactly. That's one thing for sure. If you can't accept my kids, you can't accept me.
Give it some. Hold on. What do you want?
You know, you got to go, you know, because at the end of the day, my children are not going anywhere. My babies are not going anywhere. They're going to be there with me through thick and thin.
What
you know,
you
where that man can, like, diss you at any time.
Do you even wear a hat?
So,
listen,
you know, hey, it's time to, like, it's time to let go.
Exactly.
Would you agree that in today's time, like, my parents got married in the early 70s.
How much was that T-shirt?
You know, back then, a lot of people, you know, in the 50s, they had a lot of teenage marriages and pregnancies and all. And then, you know, my mom and dad's generation, when they came about, they, you know, oh, well, you know, we're going to get out of high school. We're going to get married. Instead of trying to go out and go to college and try to do something back then, you know, the big thing was tech school. But, you know, today's relationships, people are trying to move way too fast. You know, in the case of my ex-wife and me, when we got married, it wasn't a marriage of love. It was a marriage more of convenience of something that we was trying to do. Pretty much, she wouldn't have been able to leave the state of Oklahoma without me. I had to marry her on the spot because we had two kids in South Carolina and three kids in Oklahoma with us. Now, but we moved too fast because we didn't know nothing about each other, you know, and mainly a lot of women. You know, it's us, but it's them too, because you got kids, and just like you said, Tammy, it makes perfect sense. Your kids come first. You can't put being a woman around your kids that you don't know them and they don't know you, and then, you know, you have all the fights coming up. A lot of the fights that come up are about kids, you know, like me, you know. I don't raise my biological children. The five I had was like five enough. I don't do the kitty thing, but a woman can have no more than 1.5 children for me to talk to. 1.5 is because of the fact that at some point in time being with that woman, y'all fear or y'all going to have another child. But the other child going to be old and independent enough to say, hey, go ahead, leave me alone, get your job, do what you do, whatever, go to school. And that's that, you know, because I'm not wiping no behinds that ain't mine. You know, but that's the biggest problem today with a lot of relationships and fights and all. People don't know each other and acting like, you know, you're skipping the courtship, you know, you're skipping the actual dating phase. You know, it's not even love involved in it. I don't even think it's lust. It's just, well, let's do this because we hear it now and this and that. And, you know, we're living for tomorrow, but we're like planning for yesterday. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Exactly. Okay, but you know what? Because we seem to be running out of time. KK, what's your final thought on the topic?
My final thought is, like everyone basically said, when you see those red flags, that's something I'm definitely going to be looking for when I do get out there and start hating the red flags. If I see the red flags, I'm running for the hills. It does take... some people a little bit longer to get out of abusive relationships. I just hope that they get out in time and, you know, just make themselves happy and do what they need to do. I mean, just do what you got to do.
Hello?
Is there any shout-outs you want to give, KK?
I want to give a shout-out to the DQ Dallas for having me on tonight. I want to say Merry Christmas to everybody. Happy New Year. Thank God for waking me up every day and just live life to the fullest. That's all you can do. Thank you for having me.
All right. I want to thank you for joining us. KK, Dons and Divas. All right. Coming up next, we have up-and-coming artist sensation Diamond Perry. And we're going to play her smashing single, Flaws. So stay right there and don't move, because after Diamond Perry, we have promoter My Swagger Is Crazy coming on, and he's going to be giving away those tickets to his New Year's event at Sweet James. So stay right there and don't move. This is GK Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
love, then we cool down, cool down. Baby, tonight, tonight, I let you know. Baby, tonight, tonight, we lose control. Knowing me and you got that mental telepathy, meet me up at the spot, I'll be sending over the chauffeur. Rich nigga, bread stay popping up like a toaster. Nobody come close to me and you together. Step under my umbrella, we'll make it through any weather. Except when I make it storm, sex in the greatest form. Then hibernate under my body, and yep, I keep you warm and in a chinchilla. She know I beat it up like the Thriller in Manila. Flying my private jet to villas in Anguilla. Then throw you on the grill, that's cause 7 days a week. You're my five-course
baby,
meal for real.
Welcome back to GQ Palace, and with me right now, I have Diamond Perry. Diamond, welcome to the show. Hello,
hello,
Diamond, are you there?
Hey, hello, how are you?
I'm okay, and yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm blessed by the best.
Okay, that's the life. Now, Diamond, you know, I like to get straight to the point. I know you got a lot of things going on. You know, you artist,
yeah.
You got the film directing, you got a sitcom coming out, you got a talk show about to come out. We gonna get into all that. Film director,
right.
you hitting all angles. All angles. But first, let's get into the music. Now,
okay.
What made you come up and decide on your stage name, Diamond Perry?
Did you ask me what made me
What made you choose that specific name, Diamond Perry?
I don't really know. I mean, Perry is actually my legal name. So as far as Diamond, that's something that, you know, stands out. And, you know, diamonds are a man's best friend. Everybody likes diamonds. Everybody had a good ring to it.
So you figure the diamond is the man's best friend. Perry's your last name. I'm a Don Jewel, so I'm going to leave it with the diamond and keep it as a Perry.
Right.
Okay. Now, what made you decide to get into music? How old was you when you first started?
Actually, been singing all my life. My father was a musician. He was a traveling musician from Indiana. And so it's basically always been something that's been in the genes. He actually was an artist and played an instrument. Although I don't play an instrument, music has always been my first love. So,
it's something
that's been in me forever. So,
So you decided to leave it at that point. Now, as you being an up and coming artist, what is your inspiration and goals as an up and coming artist?
My goal is to become an artist or definitely to do something different with music as far as, you know, the music that we have today. A lot of stuff that you hear, I think, is the same. You know, a lot of artists that are coming out, I mean, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good artists in Atlanta, but a lot of artists that are coming out, you know, they mimic each other. And what I'm doing with my music is basically I want to bring back R&B and soul and do something new with it. And also get off into a little bit of jazz. So I also write music as well. And music is just a good way for me to express myself, express my feelings.
Okay. Now you said a lot of stuff is the same. So what's going to make your music totally different because you add a little jazz to it? What's actually going to make your music different from everybody else's? What's going to bring that
the project,
to the music industry?
The project that I have coming out now, and it'll actually be released in March 2013, what I'm doing with that project is I'm actually getting off into a little bit of gospel jazz, and I'll still be doing some R&B. And so with my music, it's soul, and it's kind of an old soul, but it'll be modern day, if you will.
Now if you could perform with any artist that's out right now, who would it be and why?
Let's see. Like I said, I'm really into older music, so if I could, it would be someone that is a legend, someone like Anita Frank, Anita Baker. Anita Baker, Whitney Houston, people like that. Those are my favorites.
Okay, now let me ask you something. Now you were artist. Now you also a writer, producer, and a director. Let's get into that, okay?
Okay.
Tell us a little something about that.
I'm a writer as far as music and also as far as film. Now, the production goes with the film, not the music. I do not produce music.
Mm-hmm.
I don't produce music, but I am producing my first sitcom project February 2013. Right now, the cast is basically in rehearsal phase.
Okay. Now,
the sitcom project is called Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually a co-star on the sitcom.
Okay. Now, is that something that you thought of on yourself, like the sitcom, or is it something that you got involved with another director and y'all decided to come up with it together? And what actually, who actually thought of that title for the sitcom?
Jordan is actually my 11-year-old son. And so I created the concept. I'm the executive producer and director on the project. And I also wrote the script. And Jordan is a family show. It's about a husband and a wife who couldn't have children. And they adopted a little boy, which is Jordan. And there's a host of family and friends, like there is in any sitcom. You know, they bring comedy. And it's very comical, but with every episode, there'll be a moral meaning. There'll be a learning and a teaching with every episode.
Okay. Well, you know what I want to do right now? I want to get into one of your singles. And then we're going to get into, you know, the film, directing everything. But right now, I want to get into one of your singles real fast. You know, and it's amazing how you choose, you know, your son for the topic. I think that's an extraordinary thing to do. But we're going to get into all that. But I want to get into all that, but I want the lines is lit up. I want somebody, want them to also hear what you got going on in the music as well.
Okay.
You know, cause we're gonna fill in all those spaces. We're gonna fill in. Now let's talk about My Body, the single. Tell us about that. One of your singles.
My Body is actually a hip hop track, and it's a club track. And My Body is something that I did with. It's a project that I did with a rap group from Macon. And they're called them Boys Making Noise, and it basically was a fun project for us. I don't really get off into hip-hop too much, but it was something fun, and I just think as an artist, you should always have something that, you know, people can rock to. in the clubs, you know, people can dance too. So My Body is definitely one of those tracks.
What made you come up with that title, My Body, for a single?
Actually, the guy that did the hook, he's the one that came up with the concept of the song and the hook. And so we basically developed the idea around that. And that's how we came up with My Body.
Now, did you write the whole, did you write only your part for the single, or did y'all sit down and collaborate on it together?
It was me and three other guys, and we actually sat down, and there was a collaboration on that one.
Oh, okay. So you know what? We're going to get into that right now. All right?
Okay.
All right, Dons and Divas. Here's Diamond Perry, My Body. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
It's your boy Young Bo.
No other guy.
girl belly, belly. Tell her what's on my mind and then straight to it. Can't do nothing but respect it, so she's been through it.
Together to, you know, like, how did you meet up with them to go form that single?
I actually knew the group through a mutual friend, and we had wanted to get together on a few other things, but they had lived so far away. They lived a couple hours from me, and so we finally got together and we did that, and you know, did some performances and different things like that. And they're actually a pretty hot group.
Mm-hmm.
They have a
let's
lot of things going on right now as well. So,
but we have some callers on the line for you. We're
going to
bring them on, okay?
Okay.
All right, let's rock out. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm okay. We have Diamond Perry on the line.
Hi, Nadia.
Hi, Diamond. How are you?
Hi,
I'm
Nadia.
Doing great, sweetheart.
That's good. I just want to say, Diamond, that I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of the fact that you're so creative, you're innovative, and you have so much energy. And I think that the music industry needs energy, and we need a lot of positive energy. So I totally support
right.
your move, your music. One question I wanted to ask you is, how do you come up with the concepts of your writing? Is it based on how you're feeling, or is it something from your
right.
past? Or something that's currently going on. How, what motivates you to write the singles that you write?
It's always based on how I'm feeling at that time. Yeah.
Okay.
The music that I write is based on, you know, I do more writing than I do recording. So it could be based on something that I'm going through, or, you know, how I'm feeling for that day. And, yeah, that's basically what it is. It's, you know, when you're a writer, you write when you feel a certain way. You know, if you're having a good day, a bad day. So that's how I come up with most of my songs.
Okay, well, I think you're right. Your voice is very distinct. It's very different. And I think that in the music industry, we need different. We need something that's
right.
different. You know, this is very different, just like Macy Grace. Her voice is very distinct, but it's very good if you really listen to what she conveys when she's singing. So I just want to applaud you on all the great things that you're doing, and I'm a total supporter of you, and keep pushing, keep moving for women. Be vocal.
Thank you, Nadia. And I just want to say to everyone, too, that Nadia has been a wonderful inspiration in my life as well. She's the new advocate and educator on the Diamond Perry Talk Show.
Yes, I was going
to
get into that as well.
That out there.
And thank you so much, Diamond, for that opportunity, for you believing in my vision, because God is able. And nothing is by accident.
Most definitely, most definitely. And it, I like to say it was a blessing, the way Nadia and I met. And, you know,
that,
I just think that God put us in each other's life. Well, actually, I was promoting my talk show, promoting some segments and everything that I had wanted to do. And she had answered those back, and it kind of just went from there, you know, and built up on a positive relationship. So, you know, I do believe that God puts certain people in your life, in your path, at a certain time for certain reasons. And it was truly a blessing for us to meet and be able to work together.
Thank you.
Okay. We have you can stay on the line if you want to, Nadia, because I do want to ask
you
some questions about how y'all meet and everything. But we have some more callers for you, Diane, and we're going to put them through, okay?
Okay.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi. How you doing, Diamond?
Hi. How are you?
I'm good. This is Shelly. I was wondering, would you be doing any shows in the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina area anytime soon?
Probably not, but what we are doing, when we do shows and we have guests on that are from out of state, we are doing Skype shows and different things like that, so that would definitely be something, you know, that a person that's not in Atlanta can take advantage of. We also do have a blog website for the talk show, and it's diamondperry.blog.com, and, you know, it's for individuals that want to participate in conversations and show topics and different things like that that, you know, can't come on the show for whatever reason, or people that just want to participate with what we're doing. So I want to put that out there so that people can go to the blog site and check out the topics and, you know, join in on conversations and stuff like that, because it is a positive movement.
Well, I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What's your name again?
Shelly.
Okay. Thank you, Shelly.
You're welcome.
Okay. Hold on, Diana. We have another caller for you. Hello, caller. Are you there? Caller, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, my.
Yeah, I'm
here. I got names now. I just want y'all to know everybody out there. I got names of everybody that's calling now.
Right. Well, hey, Miss Simon, how you doing? Yeah, hey, Miss Simon, how you doing? I'm I grew up down south, so you got a supporter for life right here. A lot of new artists, a lot of south artists coming up. One thing you said at the beginning of your introduction that you would like to one day work with a legend and somewhere on the line of Anita Baker or Whitney Houston. I'm gonna choose Whitney Houston right here. If you had to work with Whitney Houston, would you be doing a posthumously new song, or would you do like Natalie Cole, where she sang Unforgettable with her daddy, but added herself in singing it?
I don't know. Probably. I like to take and mix the new with the old. So,
okay.
Yeah, I like to take and mix the new with the old.
If you were able to do that on one of her songs, like say, take one of her older songs, which is a hit, and maybe say add yourself onto it with a new flavor to it. Which, do you have one of her songs in mind right now?
definitely this song. I believe the Children of the Future. What is the name of this song?
Right, that's the greatest love. Yes.
The greatest play, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That is
okay.
The first, because I grew up on Whitney Houston, so that is one of the first songs, you know, that I learned
right.
To sing. So yeah, it would definitely be something like that. The greatest love
okay.
of all. Yeah.
Okay.
She's definitely one of my idols, her and Anita Baker. Most definitely. So, yeah, when my new project comes out, it's going to be, like I said, new mixed in with the old, and it'll have like a jazz, you know, a soulful jazz feel to it, and there may even be a few gospel songs on. So that's the road I'm headed to.
All right. Oh, okay. Oh, well. Okay. Thanks for calling. That's, we have another call on the line for you. And then we're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, Diamond. How are you?
Hi, how are you? I'm great.
I'm blessed, thanks. I just want to say, yo, your music is really good. I like it.
Thank you.
My body, I would definitely purchase it.
Wow, thank you. It's
and,
one of the
I mean,
more
you
popular
know,
songs here, so.
Okay, and I mean,
yeah.
You know, your sitcom that you was talking about, that just, like, gave me chills, seriously.
Oh, we gonna get into that.
I don't know, it's a beautiful thing, you know. And I just want to say, stay blessed, keep up the good work, and keep moving it forward.
Thank you, that
honestly.
Means a lot, I definitely will. Thank you.
You're welcome. And stay blessed.
Now, Donna, what I would like for you to do, because we have some new callers on the line as well, could you let them know about the sitcom once again? Because that's another big step
yes.
for you, so let them know about
yes,
that sitcom.
The sitcom production is called Jordan, and it will be released 2012, basically spring 2012. And Jordan is starring my son. He's actually starring my 8-year-old son. But I do have a son named Jordan, and he's 11 years old. And the reason with doing the show about Jordan is because Jordan, he's a special kid. He's a straight-A student, and he's been a victim of bullying his entire life. And so I wanted to take something that I was doing positive and surrounded around him, be able to help him, you know, express himself and everything, and just let him know, you know, that you are a star, you're a special child. So that originally was the concept and the reason around the sitcom production.
Okay.
So we're gonna bring. There's always gonna be a lesson, a moral value. There's always gonna be a teaching, but there's gonna be comedy, you know, in there as well. You know, make it enjoyable for everyone. So,
how long did it take you to develop this whole sitcom? You know, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, you got major networks that's really into this right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I actually have been working on the project since the beginning of the year. So, basically, this entire year, I started in the beginning of the year writing the scripts and different things like that, and. You know, throughout it took me a little bit to be able to get the cast together and, you know, audition, have people audition, different things like that. So right now we're in rehearsal phases of different episodes and stuff. And we are looking at trying to get BET and or either the WE channel, that's a women's channel. We're trying to get a station where I know the audience. We're trying to get a station with the proper audience, basically what I'm trying to say.
Okay.
Until we're able to take, you know, major TV networks, episodes, and everything that will be available on the internet, as well as the Diamond Perry Show is.
Okay, yes. We're going to get into the Diamond Perry Show as well. And we also going to get into another one of your singles. But I have another call on the line for you, and I want to bring them on real fast, okay?
Okay.
Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, yes, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm a big fan
of entrepreneurship and creativity, and you seem very creative, which is great. One thing, I think as you're career progress, don't lose yourself in the commercialism. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, keep your originality. Keep, you know, always try to have a say in what's being produced. You know, what your name go on, have a say in it and have a real
handle on it? Because, you know, a lot of times people have great talent, and then their talent become overshadowed by what labels or, you know, they want
right.
to change you into what they want you to be. But in all actuality, what attracted people to you was you from the beginning. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, you know,
yes.
keep maintain that originality. Don't conform. You know, sometimes we have to adapt to different settings, but never change the overall view of who you are. You know, and that's really good. I like that. My son, he just turned 13. I need him to be the straight A student like your kid, but he's okay. But
right, you, as long as he's doing his best.
Yeah, but you know, keep doing what you're doing. Stay positive and keep the focus. You know, and you was mentioning about shopping networks. You know, I was just thinking, you know, Oprah's network own. I'm sure they're probably looking for new, fresh things. You guys might want to intercede in that if they would pick up your show.
Right, right.
I mean,
we're most definitely going to look that way. Oprah, she's another one of my idols.
Oh, yeah,
she's
girl.
She's another one of my idols.
She is.
Oprah,
I take my hat off to her. She came a long way from Harpo.
Right.
She gave a long way from Harpo. I like Oprah. That's my girl, too. So I just want to say you continue doing your thing, honey. Okay?
Okay.
And when you get out there, I'll support you, too. I'm actually shopping right now, so I'm a shopper.
Oh.
So we'll support
thank you for calling in.
Okay. Okay.
I appreciate your support. Thank you so much.
No worries. And good luck, honey.
Thank you.
Okay. Diamond, I want to get into another one of your singles, Flawless. Tell us about that. Flaws, I'm sorry. Tell us about that.
Okay. Flaws is actually more of a love song, and it's, you know, more R&B and soul, slow and smooth. Flaws is basically a song about a woman wanting her mate to accept her for, you know, who she is. You know, basically saying everyone has flaws, no one is perfect, but, you know, I want you to love me for me and love me for who I am. And I think everyone wants that, so.
And that's something very unique. So is there a meaning for this flaws that made you specifically name it this title?
No, not really. And actually, when I wrote the song, I wasn't writing it to a particular person or, you know, about a particular person, basically expressing my feelings, you know, as a woman, that every woman wants to be accepted, you know, just knowing that I'm not perfect, you know, not even speaking in a sense of a love relationship between a man and a woman, but, you know, I just definitely want to be accepted by everyone for who I am. So that's, you know, basically what that song was about.
Now let me ask you one more question. How long did it actually take you to complete this single?
Oh wow. Writing it wasn't the big ringer. The challenge is going in and recording. And I don't know. I think I was in the studio maybe 4 to 6 hours. With any basic song, you're going to be in the studio for at least 4 hours. So I was in maybe about 5.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to get into that right now. All right?
Okay.
All right, Dons and Divas. Here's another banger by Diamond Perry, Flaws. Remember where you heard it first. GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
This is a GQ Palace exclusive.
I
Divas, welcome back, and with me, I have up-and-coming artist sensation Diamond Perry, and I also have Nadia on the line. Diamond, I love that single.
Thank you.
You have your voice is like mellow, it's relaxed and everything. Want to say, Nadia, you still on the line with us?
Yes, I'm still here.
Okay, yes, because I still want to get into the situation with y'all, too. We have enough time. You know how y'all made up, how y'all got everything together and everything as well. You understand?
Okay.
We have a caller on the line for you. I want to bring them on real fast. Hello, caller, are you there?
Yeah, what's up?
What's going on? Welcome to GQ Palace.
Yeah. I was calling, Diamond, don't take this the wrong way when I, say what I'm saying. Your music is on point, but it could use a little improving.
I don't take that as an insult because that's anyone's music.
Yeah, but we can all improve.
Yeah. it's decent. But I'm just saying it could use a little improving.
Okay.
Keep up the good work. Keep doing what you're doing,
Okay.
Seems like you're a busy female, so, just keep up the good work.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
No problem.
All right. Okay, well, a little criticism, it's good that you can accept criticism.
That doesn't bother me at all because people that are signed to a major label, their music is not perfect. No one is, everyone's music gets better as they, go along in their career. Everyone's not going to like me, so I'm fine with that. Everyone's not going to like me.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's get into your production, and you hosting your own talk show, The Diamond Perry Show. Tell us about that.
The Diamond Perry Show is definitely a positive movement.
I created the show with the intent to be able to practice what I was doing more as far as advocacy with domestic violence victims. That is like a really, really big thing with me. And so I figured with my talk show, you know, I would be able to give those that have things that they wanted to talk about and maybe they couldn't, maybe they had never had the opportunity to before, to be able to concentrate on topics that are unheard and topics that are sensitive. And there is those like domestic violence, sexual abuse, and different things like that. Mm-hmm. I'm also big on entrepreneurship as well because I'm an entrepreneur. And so that's a lot of what I've been doing with the show. You know, I have brought a few music artists on, entrepreneurs, giving them a chance to get exposure and stuff like that and promote themselves.
And that's a good thing. That's really a good thing. Because there's a lot of good artists out here with their good music and everything, and people's not getting enough shot. You understand?
Right.
You know, and that's the bad thing about it. You know, they say that, oh, okay, well, you know, maybe because the way they dress, you know, their appearance, so they ain't going to sound, they ain't going to really. But, you know, that's why you got stylists in certain situations, you know, to help them get out there as well. But let's get with you and Nadia real fast. Now, what's that going on? Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, Nadia and I think that Nadia and I are a lot alike. She's a very positive person as well, very positive. And if she has any negative vibes or anything, I've never gotten that from her. So that's why I said, you know, she's an inspiration to me as well. But she also has the same vision that I have. She is also an advocate for domestic violence victims. And that, you know, is the way that we met. And so she is the new advocate and guest educator for the show. And I'll let her tell you a little bit more.
Okay, Nadia.
Well, thank you again, Rich. This is my second time being on the GQ Palace show, and I want to say thank you so much for having me there on the show, and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Basically, the movement that Diamond and I have is very passionate. Like she said, we were able to talk and relate to situations that we both experienced in our walks and journeys in life. And so on that note there, again, I say that things don't happen by accident. I do think that things happen by divine intervention with God. We both want to promote awareness, positive awareness, and we want to let people know that domestic violence is real. It is real as we are sitting right here talking tonight. And we want people to be more vocal. We want women to take a stand. We want them to be vocal. And the most important thing is we want women to empower themselves to take their lives back and to let them know that all hope is not gone. There are resources
right
out there. There's vigilance that we have for our current survivors like myself and for the ones that are not here. So the biggest part of the movement is to continue to fight for the legislation laws to pass to make this law be more aware that women need to be protected. Now, the flip side of it is it's just not a woman situation. Men can be abused as well.
Right, right.
Not a double standard. So our thing is, we want to reach the people from all walks of life. We don't care nothing about your race, your economic status, your culture, your ethnicity. We want to help people. We want to empower people. Take your lives back and rebuild.
Right.
Okay. And I like how y'all, you know, put it all together, how y'all got it organized and everything. Excuse me, how y'all got it organized, you understand? And it's a fact that you just mentioned that not only women, men too, because men do go through situations.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right. Big Rich, I don't know if anyone has ever heard of the movie. There was a movie with Peter Strauss in it, and it was called Men Don't Cry. And the person that played his wife was Judith Light, who was an actress on All My Children at one time. Well, in this movie, Men Don't Cry, she was beating this man. You know, and that was my first realization and an eye-opener to myself that men do get abused. And you know what? They feel the same emotions that we feel. So it is very true. Men can be abused, and they're afraid to come out because the average man would think, I'm a man, why would I let a woman beat on me?
Right, right.
You know, so that just tears down a man's ego. It just tears down the whole being of being what a man is supposed to be to that man that thinks that he's a man and what he should be and how he should be respected. So it works both ways. And this is what we're trying to do to empower, to let people know that it happens on both sides of the coin. It's not a one-way street.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I honor y'all ladies for that. I really, really
thank you so much.
I really honor y'all ladies for that. Because y'all definitely proving a point and y'all making a strive in it. And as long as everybody, you know, just get everybody attention, and it's going to get bigger and more popular than you could even imagine, because y'all speaking the truth, and that's what a lot of people really need to hear, the truth.
Right. And the truth is a light, you know, and sometimes you have to start off with those baby steps to get to where you're trying to get. But if you stay focused and if you put God first, you can't be wrong.
Exactly. Now, Diamond, you featured in a track for an international reality show in Paris, France, Japan. Tell us about that.
It's actually a project that started out here, and it started 2 years ago with a UK producer. He's a producer out of the UK, and he came up with the idea to do promoting for fashion boutiques all over the world, internationally. And so what happened with that is me and two other artists, we did the track. And he developed a reality show, and the reality show traveled. So it's actually in France right now, Paris, France. It's been in Japan, the Caribbean islands. It was here. And it's doing pretty good right now. So, you know, it was something that started out as a project to basically do promotions for fashion boutiques. And it turned into a big reality show.
Excuse me. Okay.
And I'm not. I'm actually not not featured on the reality show. I was supposed to be a cartoon on the reality show in the beginning. I was supposed to be a fashion. They call it a fashionista. But yeah, the project ended up taking a different turn, and I ended up doing something else. So.
Wow. Now, I want to get into this book. Is it a new release book that's available in stores? Is that by you? A woman's
The book is actually will not be available until 2013, the end of January. Yeah, but we have been promoting it just because, you know, I do have supporters, and so I want them to, you know, be able to know this book will be out the end of January, the beginning of February. And so everyone will look for that. It's called A Woman's Worth, The Story of Anna Cole. And it's actually a fiction book. But like I said, with anything that I write, it has meaning, it has moral meaning, and it has a lesson. So I actually plan for this to be my first movie production.
Wow.
The book is actually that deep, so.
Now, how do you balance everything out? the
artist, no
the
sleep.
Film director, the sitcoms, the talk shows, how do you balance everything out?
I don't get a lot of sleep. That's I don't get a lot of rest. But, you know, I'm a very driven, very motivated person about everything, you know, that I want. I'm on a mission with God. So, you know, everything that I'm doing, he actually put me there. But, you know, I'm just a go-getter. So I just take off like lightning and I just go.
Wow. You are doing an amazing job, I'm going to say. And
thank
I
you.
Honor
thank
you, like I said, I honor both of y'all.
Now, thank you so much.
Now, what's the next step? What's the next step?
Well, I have to say that come 2013, you know, I have a lot going on with Jordan releasing and then the book, and I can't say I haven't been performing on a regular basis as far as my music, and that's something that I will get back off into, you know, come March when the whole project is released and everything, you know. And for the caller, you know, that called in and didn't bother me, but I just have to express myself on it, you know, because I appreciate him calling in, but if you think I, you know, if you really don't like my music or, you know, whatever, I don't really
I don't think they would take the time to say that.
But, you know, I am a new artist. I am a new artist. I haven't been doing this for a decade or anything. I'm still new. And with the new project, you know, that's coming out, it's even better music than what I have out now. Everybody has a starting point. And if you listen to any artist that has started out, you know, you can go back on Mary J. Blige, or, you know, you can go back on Lil Wayne or anybody when they first started out. Everyone's music improves, you know, as they go along. So that's,
well,
you know, going to happen with anybody. I'm a new artist, so.
I don't think everybody didn't like the music. I think, you know, they just probably were just giving a little criticism, you know. Everybody gives criticism, you know. And that's one thing, like, a lot of artists have to, like, accept, because, you know, I've also been in the music industry for over 20 years. So, it's, you know, you're going to get criticism regardless.
Right.
You got people that say they don't like Lil Wayne. Lil Wayne, he ain't worried about it, you understand? So, you know, you got a lot of love tonight, so... You know, you're gonna get the criticism. It's gonna happen.
Right.
But don't take it.
I've definitely learned that along the way, and I don't take it. You know, I don't take it bad. You know, maybe when I first started my career off, you know, maybe I would, but I don't now. I'm still a new artist, but you know, I have been doing this since 2009, and you know, so I can take criticism, and I know even more is gonna come with that. But I know that I'm doing something right, because I have way more supporters and fans than I do have people, you know, saying, hey, I don't like you. And a person can't help but to like what I'm doing, because everything I'm doing is positive.
I definitely agree with you on it. Now, you and Nadia, if y'all, I would like for y'all to give y'all information, you know, to the listeners and everything, let them know about your sitcom, your reality talk shows you got coming out next year, the music. Let them know everything. Let them know how to get in contact with you. Go ahead,
Nadia. Okay. Nadia?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
I want to say that Diamond and I have come up with a blog. It is called thediamondperry.blog.com. And that blog basically is for any issues of that may be going on in a person's life, but it mainly focuses on domestic violence. So Diamond is the original creator of the blog, and I'm just an advocate on there. We're both advocates on there, talking with people that are posting about anything personal or passionate, or, you know, this, the hurt and the wounded, we're willing to listen to and embrace. I also have a book, two books that are going to be coming out 2013. And I have titles for them, but I haven't released the names of the titles due to legal legalities, so I can't disclose the titles of the books at this time. And we also have an extended blog page, which is under Nadia Khalid, ATL.blogspot.com. And that also is a page that's an extension of what Diamond and I have created for our viewers to also go on to talk about sensitive issues. And we want to let people know that we're not just engaging in any in pain. We want to engage in laughter. We want to hear results. We want to hear success stories. So we're looking forward to
it. Definitely.
Okay.
You know, we talk about fun things and stuff, too. We want to have fun. As I said before, you know, I've had music artists on the show, and once we do take network and, you know, we are on TV and everything full-time, I'll definitely have, you know, artists come on and perform sometimes. My children, my three children, they have a group, and they're called the Pop Kids. They're definitely going to, you know, be able to come on the show and perform and stuff like that. So,
okay.
Yeah, anyone that wants to.
Yeah.
You're going to be out there next year. You're definitely going
to
be out there.
Anyone that wants to check out what we're doing, anything about, you know, the Diamond Perry brand, I'm on Facebook. It's Diamond Perry. Follow me on Twitter at Diamond Perry R&B. The music's on Reverb Nation. Once again, that's Diamond Perry. And as I said, we're promoting the talk show online, so we have clips and everything available on YouTube. There's a reality project on YouTube, and everything is basically Diamond, is, you know, punching Diamond Perry into a face there at the Diamond Perry show. So.
And Diamond, do you want to let us also know about the Skype for the pilots come out in 2013, how we're going to put that together as well?
Yes. Well, actually, before 2013, we'll be doing a domestic violence segment, and we'll be releasing it. We'll be releasing it like January 2013, and that'll be available on the internet also. And, you know, we want to put that out there because, like I said, you know, we are advocates for domestic violence victims, and, you know, that's a big goal is to be able to get women to come out and speak about it. It's a very sensitive subject. You know, be able to get people to come out and speak about it, and we hope to be able to make a change in a lot of people's lives and, you know, make a change in the world, open people up to the subject, you know, deal, have possibly less deaths out here as far as domestic violence is concerned, so.
Wow. And, you know, like I said, I honor y'all ladies.
Thank you so much.
And Diamond, it was an honor having you on. Nadia, it was an honor having you on. Y'all welcome back
Thank
anytime.
You so
I'm hoping
for
when you get
me on
to, you know, you're welcome. When you get to that ZipCon, you come back on, you know, be like, hey, let's go to GQ Palace to see, you know, what's going on with
right.
you, you know.
It's definitely want to come back on and, you know, with the update and everything with you guys. I appreciate, you know, you giving me an opportunity to talk about everything that I'm doing and having me on your show.
And I want to say thank you again, Vic Rich, and to Lavinia Polite for having Diamond and I on the show tonight. It's truly been a blessing, and it's a movement that we're moving forward. And we just want to say thank you, and thank you for the exposure and the support. We wish you a very Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year for your company and what you're doing for the movement to help people like ourselves. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Right.
And y'all welcome anytime. All right?
Okay. God bless.
All right. Nadia and Diamond Perry, Dons and Divas. You are. All right. Coming up next, we have one of the biggest promoters in NYC in the building. My swagger is crazy. He's doing big things. Tonight, he's going to let y'all know about his big event, Grown and Sexy, that's going down at Sweet James, December 31st. He's giving out tickets. If you want to win those tickets, I advise you to call in. The phone lines is on fire right now, so stay right there. We'll be right back with My Swagger is Crazy. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's butter, baby.
Bobby, beat it up.
play with your mind. You know what I'm talking about. In the bedroom or the couch, I'm out here screaming out. So baby, gonna take that thing to the house like a football game.
And put your bag like a daddy.
All they gonna say is my name.
Bobby.
Take up all of your time, and I don't care if you a stripper, baby, 'cause what I got is night to go.
Look, I'm looking at the way your body just massage your mind. I know you feel me, girl, I'm all up beside your mind. She be like, stop, please, baby, don't go, while I be staring at her weave like it's gonna grow. Go back to the room, yeah, it's hammer time. Take your clothes off, let your pajamas fly, and keep it going with the motion. She up a pill, so you know about it. All that.
Right, all right, Dons and Divas, welcome back to GQ Palace. And with me right now, I have my man Swagger Like Us. From Swagger Like Us, my swagger is crazy. Swagger, welcome to the show. Swagger, what's going on?
You know me, on my grind. What's good with you, Rich? How the family? How everybody doing?
Everybody good, Swagger. You know how that goes. Same old, same old. Now, you got a lot of things. You got more things going on than you had before now, man.
I don't know, man. As long as my mind keep moving, I'm going to keep things moving.
You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all. Now, let everybody know about this event you got going on. That's just, it's all over right now that you got going down. I'm going to let you introduce it, let them know exactly what's going on, because my lines is flooded. It's flooded right now. So I need you to let them know exactly what's going on.
Okay. On Monday, December 31st, 2000K, I got my Grown and Sexy affair. It's called 2013, the year of the Grown and Sexy, at Sweet James. And on the east side of Manhattan, 106th Street between 3rd and Lexington Avenue. Music by DJ Superlock and E. Kim. It's a New Year's Eve celebration.
Now,
it'll be something real crazy. Grown and Sexy. You ain't grown and sexy, keep it to the left.
So now,
coming in there, put your pants hanging off your ass and none of that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Dress full, brute force, crazy. You know what I'm saying? You know, only kind of jeans you can wear is black jeans on your ass.
Exactly. Now, you also got a lot of other, like the tavern you got going on and everything. My lines is flooded. Swag, let them know about the tavern and all that also. And, you know, the dealings that you got going on with the Harlem Rap Pack.
Oh,
no, every
second, third, or fourth Saturday, the Harlem Rap Pack, which is me, Swagger, Boogie Black, and Lord Piff, OZ Tab McCall, Bad Boys Movement Sound on Saturdays, the DJ LA Love, each and every third, fourth, so, I mean, each and every second, third, or fourth Saturday, that OZ Tavern located in the Bronx, 138 between 3rd and Ryder. 2-for-1 drinks from 10 to 11:30. $5 shots from 10 to 11. Everybody free before midnight, $10 after.
Now, Swag, let me ask you. You know, you know, I asked you a couple of questions before, because you've been on before and everything. But, you know, like I said, every time you come on, there's new listeners that want to know. Because I'm going to put them on the line and all that, because I got some callers that actually want to go on the line. I'm going to put them on the line. But explain to them how you got started doing your promotion.
Oh, I got started in this game. Next June will be 22 years. I got started with DJ Reggie Wells, the legendary DJ Reggie Wells. I started as a...
Hello, Swagger? Okay, we lost Swagger. Okay, but I'm pretty sure we're going to get him back. But until he come back, let me let y'all know what's going on. Swagger is one of the biggest promoters in NYC. All right, what's going on tonight is he will be giving away 2 tickets to his New Year's Bash at Sweet James. 2 free tickets. He's going to ask you a question. Once he asks the question, you know, I guess that's how he's going to do it. He's going to ask you the question. Once he asks you the question, then boom, you win those tickets. His parties be ridiculous. They be off the chain. One thing about Swagger, when he throw his events, he makes sure he does it proper and correct. I believe we have him back on the line. Swagger, you back?
Yeah, I'm back. Sorry about that. I got cut off.
All right. Girl, you can finish telling what's going on.
Okay. I started selling tickets for the legendary DJ Reggie Wells. After, you know, getting some, you know, input on the game, I started out as Pretty Black Entertainment. And I slowed down for a minute, went back to school, got my 2 degrees and stuff like that. You know, and then I came back, Swagger Like Us. And they've been on since then. So next June will be 22 years in the game.
Okay.
Long, hard years, put it that way. I tell people all the time, this game ain't easy. I tell you, this game ain't easy.
All right. I believe you have the first caller for you, Swag. We're going to bring them on.
Okay.
Hello, caller. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi.
I have a question.
Okay.
The type of parties that you do, is it for older or younger crowds?
Well, I really try to keep it the age group at a level where that as long as you act your age, meaning like say 25 to 30, 35, 40, you know, that type of thing. I don't like to do young parties that you can wear the boots and the jeans and the hats. This I don't like them kind of parties.
Okay, so pretty much the more mature crowd. As long
exactly.
as they're gonna okay. All right,
the music is more mature. We don't play all the, you know, kiss my ass up the balls and all the games, all that.
Okay. I would like to commend you on all that you do and many blessings and good luck.
Who am I speaking to?
This is Rachel.
Who?
Rachel.
Rachel, how you doing, Rachel?
I am fine.
Thank you for the blessings, and I wish you and your family a happy and safe holiday. Hope to see you on New Year's Eve.
Thank you.
Hello?
All right. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
We have another call.
You got to do motion like before, Rich. Every time I'm on, I got to go through the motion. I'm like, okay.
We're going to bring another caller on for you. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Hey, Swagger, I'm from uptown, and usually we do have the best parties up here. And in your promoting, right, have you ever had things that you had put out there that kind of, like, didn't work out so good?
Nah, I never had that problem. Because whenever I put on my flyer,
mm-hmm.
It won't be there. I'm gonna make sure that I'm hands on with everything I do.
Okay.
From this venue wanted me to the venue owner, from dealing with the flyer, from dealing with the DJs, I handle all that myself.
Right.
So.
Okay. My next thing is this. I what you just said is real important, because there's a lot of times that, you know, you see all of the flyers, you're like, ooh, ah, ooh, ah. Total misrepresentation of
right.
what you're expecting. You know what I'm saying? Even people
right.
be giving bus rides and stuff. You know, oh, the Maryland crab desk, you at a church having some crabs that you get off the corner. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
the bootlegness. So I
yeah.
guess quality is one of your top qualities, eh?
Yeah. Yeah, whatever, like I said, whatever you see on my flyer, it's going to happen.
Okay.
I'm going to make sure it's going to happen. Because when you false advertise anything, it's not a good look on you.
Yeah, I had years ago it was crazy, and I had mentioned that Crab Fest thing because, you know, my friends all go on the bus rides to the Crab Fest. I drive, you know, so I don't do all of the public busing and all of that. So I said, okay,
right.
we'll go. I've never seen anything, and it was my first Crab Fest that I was going to, and it was crazy. I was like, are you serious? I was so hot, right? And the best part of the, I can't even say the best part, the only enjoyable moment of the whole bus trip was when they had the they had like a party, and you know, the good DJ, good music makes an event. The food was trash, but the music was good, but it was a bootleg thing. But when I got back to New York, honey, I was on Hot 97 putting that whole entertainment squad on blast, straight up, blast. Yes.
Oh, you're getting it in,
yeah, huh? I was hot about that. Yes, I was hot. So, you know, I think a promoter's biggest thing they need to do is hold tight to what they're doing. Like, let what you put out there, let it be. You know, if something fall through, you better get a good backup plan.
But you know what, too, sweetie, and I learned this, like, when you hear, like, other promoters have events, it don't hurt to say, you know, how was it? You know, especially when it comes to, like, when you spend hundreds of dollars, like, on ski trips to Crab Fest. If you
yeah.
know doing a ski trip or Crab Fest, you ask them, okay, wait, where did you go? Okay, what did you deal with? And then you ask people that went, how was it? They say it was trash, you don't have to go to them people.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
Everybody, they scared to ask a question.
Exactly.
Yeah.
My mother
always told me the dumbest question you can ask is the question you don't ask.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and my thing is, it's no such thing as a dumb question. A dumb thing is not to know and sit there and continue not knowing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then, you know what, so you can't get involved with every promoter. Because every promoter, every good collaboration is not good for you.
That's like,
I would never have a party with a young promoter. Because
right.
I'm not a young dude.
Right,
so
how old are you?
Well, you don't put me on blast?
No, I'm saying, how old are you?
I'm 46.
You 46? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm 46.
You're right. You're not a dinosaur. You're right. Dad.
So, you know, I just couldn't do that. I had a promoter ask me to do a party in a strip club, and I'm like, I don't do that. I don't do that. Like, but my people would never even go to a strip club. They got
right.
wild. They can do that. They got other people can do that. So, why
right.
would I put myself out there like that?
Right.
Everything for everybody. So I stay in my lane.
So the young lady had asked, which I like a mature crowd. I don't like I like a lot of different types of music. I like hip hop, I like R&B, you know what I'm saying? And some songs is just like pure trash. But yeah,
okay.
I agree. But when it comes down to a party atmosphere, I like a variety. But I'm
yeah.
definitely not trying to sit next to some bum with they, you know, butt crack showing, looking like they get ready to do some electrical work. You know what I'm saying? Dude weighing 90 pounds wearing a size 40 pants. You know, I'm not trying to see that.
See,
you know?
You gotta pick the right DJ for the right event. Like, if I'm doing a casual event, I have DJs for a casual event. If I'm doing
right.
an upscale event, I have a DJ for that. Like, if I have an upscale event, I don't even let women wear spandex or jeans at my upscale events.
Right.
So,
like, I know a couple of good DJs, like, personally, like SNS, Capri, like, you know, I know
right.
they're good people. And
right.
one thing I like about their DJ style, they're versatile. You know what I'm saying? They could take you from here to there in 0.2 seconds. So, you know, that's good. And I do believe that when you do have events, choosing the appropriate DJ is good. You know what I'm saying? You don't want somebody who's going to be stuck on Lil Wayne all night. You know what I'm saying?
I don't understand what that boy be saying, tell you the truth. So
I don't think nobody know what Lil Wayne is.
I don't know what you're talking about. I watched the video the other morning. I just being nosy. I'm like, what's this dude talking about?
Like, yeah, is that English?
Yeah, like
Let me Google that. What did he say?
Yeah. But you gotta be able to be versatile with the people you deal with. Like, I deal with a lot of older people that work in past people, so they're not into that kind of music.
Right. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So, I'm very picky about the DJ, and also you gotta deal with, three things starts with, like, the venue, the flyer, you know, everything covered. You have a flyer with a naked chick with her ass showing, that's the crowd you want to get.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? You have a DJ that play hip hop all day, that's the crowd you're going to get. We have a nice fly with a nice design. You got a nice venue. You got a nice DJ. We're going to have a nice crowd.
Exactly. Okay, caller, stay on the line. I have another caller for you, Swag. We're going to bring them on. Hello, caller, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, Swagger. How you doing?
I'm all right. Who am I speaking to?
This is Shelly.
Sherry?
Shelly, yes.
Hey, Shelly.
I was wondering, would you be doing shows in the Raleigh-Durham area, promoting shows and parties in the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina area?
You know what? It's funny you asked that, because I was just talking to some partners of mine that live in different states, and we just plan on doing, like, a couple of out-of-state parties, like North Carolina and stuff like that, Baltimore,
okay.
Virginia, Atlanta. So, yeah, I'll be coming out soon.
Okay. I'll be coming out. I'm sorry, say that again?
I'll be coming out to your town soon.
Okay. So how do you go about winning the ticket?
How do I go about winning the ticket? We're going to ask you a question. You got to get it right.
Okay.
All right, you ready for the question?
Let's go.
You ready?
I want to hear.
You're ready. You're ready. You're ready.
Do we all get a chance to answer this question?
This is the question. This is the question.
Wait,
right?
What you said?
Do we all get a chance to answer this question?
Who are you?
You have to ask Swagger that question. Swagger. He's giving away these tickets, so that's the question you have to ask him.
What you mean by we all get a chance to answer the question?
Well, I'm from Manhattan, right?
Uh-huh.
So I'm just telling you right now, is the party in New York?
Yes, it's in New York.
All right, get your question going.
Yo, all right.
Oh, you hear this? Like she got...
Okay. All right, this is the question. What would you wear to a grown and sexy event?
Me?
Yeah, you.
Probably my little black dress and about 3-4-inch heels. I like all black and grown and sexy. I don't do loud colors.
Wait, who is that talking?
This is Kitty.
Okay, well, Kitty, you have to wait because there was somebody else on the line before you. You're rushing. You're skipping the line, Kitty. You're skipping the line.
whatever.
You stay right there.
But this year I got these black leather shorts and I'm gonna wear them. It was my high hooker boots, so I'm gonna keep it real.
Kitty, I'm talking to Kitty, right?
Yeah.
All right. Who was the first person I was talking to?
Shelly.
All right, so y'all on a three-way call?
No,
they're not on a three-way. The lines is blowing up like crazy, Swag. So.
Okay, I'm talking to two people at the same time?
Yeah, you got two people.
Okay, so I'm talking to Kitty and Shelly, right?
Yeah. I got people.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Wait, Swag, do me a favor. Wait, Swag, I need you to do me a favor, all right? Because my lines is blowing up. So I want to bring somebody else on because I don't want you to keep answering the same question. And you can just answer one question. Whoever you figure gets it, they could get the ticket. You want to do it like that?
No, this is how we're going to do this. All right, Kitty, who answers the first question?
Me.
Who's me? Kitty?
Yeah, Kitty. What's up?
Kitty said she wears a short dress with the nice hair, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Kitty, you got your ticket. Now, Shelly?
Okay.
Shelly?
Yeah.
You ready for your question?
Yes.
What do you consider a grown and sexy man?
I'm sorry? Say that one more time.
What do you consider a grown and sexy man?
I consider a grown and sexy man someone who is very well-dressed, someone who is professional, and knows how to treat a lady.
Okay, you got your tickets, too. See, that was easy, right? So now, Kitty and Shelly.
Swagger, I'm going to have to give up my ticket. Swagger.
Okay.
I'm going to have to give up my ticket because I live in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I don't think I would be making it, so you might want to give those to somebody else.
Okay, sweetie. So, Kitty, you live where?
Thank you, though.
I live in Manhattan.
You're in Manhattan? All right,
yep,
so, Kitty. You in Harlem?
Yep.
All right, so, Kitty, you got to give Rich your name and your number, and he's going to forward it to me, and I'll be giving you a call, and we can meet up to get your ticket.
Okay.
All right.
All right, where's your party going to be at, Midtown?
No, it's going to be 106th Street between 3rd and Lexington called Sweet Jane.
Oh, on the east side. Okay. All right, that works.
Oh, she's real excited now. She's like, yeah.
Nah, because I can get parking.
Now, ain't you?
I might wear my black leather shorts. I told you I got an alternative outfit.
I was about to ask that question, but we'll get some black leather shorts.
What'd you say?
I said, don't forget them black leather shorts, Kitty.
See, that was my B backup. I wanted to wear my black leather shorts with this lace top and my little hooker boots. They're cute.
Oh,
I like
girl.
Them. So
wow.
I wanted to wear them.
Girl.
So that's what I might wear for the New Year Eve party.
You really want those, Kitty?
Do that, Kitty.
What?
You really want those?
I said, you do that, Kitty.
Okay.
So, Kitty, you stay right there.
Put your name and number, and he's going to forward it to me, and I'll be giving you a ticket.
Okay.
All right, Kitty, stay right there. Swag, I got some more people on the line, but I'm going to bring on two at the same time. I got T and Kia on the line. All right, I'm going to bring both of them on. T and Kia. T and Kia, you on the line?
Hello.
All right, yeah, I got them both on right now. Hello?
Hello?
My swag.
What up, T?
Hey, baby.
How
are you? I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, laying low, under the radar.
I know you are.
I don't know. I don't even know Swag. I don't know.
You got
Kia on the line.
Hi, Swag. How are you?
Right.
Say it again.
Hold on. You talking to Kia now?
Kia?
Yeah.
All right. T on the line. Who's the other young lady on the line?
Kia.
Kia?
Yeah.
Kia, right?
Yes.
Okay, how you doing, Kia?
Fine, and it's Kia.
Kia,
like the car. Kia. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I have a question.
All right, what question you got?
You know how you was talking about the promotion, about the flyers. You cannot necessarily go by the flyers. You know how you got word of mouth cousin. I'm going to tell you about my boat ride experience last year for my word of mouth cousin. Her personal trainer is, I guess they into this industry or whatever. You know, they promoting parties or whatever. Boat ride at the pier. I think it was pier something. You know how we got to... I can get our hair done, get dressed on the boat ride, you know, put on our stuff, 4-inch heels, you know. So we get to this boat ride that is supposed to be all about that. I get in the boat ride. Music was great, got nothing to complain about the music. You know, you dancing. Get ready to get in the food line to get food. No more food. In my 4-inch heels, I was not a happy camper. In that 4-inch heels and nothing to eat for a 3-hour, 4-hour boat ride. My word of mouth cousin, my word of mouth cousin who's talking about, oh, they give great parties, Kia. To this day, her word is nothing about parties no more.
Damn, Kia. I ain't gonna lie, Kia. I'm gonna be honest with you, Kia. I don't even go to, like certain boat rides, and I don't even go to like that. Cause if I don't like it, I want to go. And I'm not swimming no place, and I'm ready to go.
I am not going. I have not been on one since. And you talking about standing in line for at this pier, go all the way from West Orange, New Jersey, to this took into New York City to go to this boat ride that's supposed to be the hit of the whatever from what my cousin is telling us. Go, come over, we're gonna have a great time. You're not here with Fly, you know, you and we can't even talk while you dance for a few minutes. You think, okay, I'm hungry, let's go get in line and get something to eat. No food. I'm gonna see no
food. Where are you from?
I'm in New Jersey. I'm in West Coast, New Jersey.
You're in West Coast. You see, you have me feeling bad. So you know what, Kia? I'm going to give you 2 tickets to the New Year's Eve season.
Oh.
All right? I want you to forward your information
to
Rich. Your name and number to Rich. Rich is going to forward it to me, and you can come over and get your tickets. Because there's one thing I hate people that tell people one thing, and they're not satisfied.
I don't trust her. Anything come out. It's probably because the guy who was a personal trainer, and she was whatever. She just
She was thinking about the price. She was thinking about his body.
Oh, that's all she was. Exactly. But she having us, the other two of my cousins, we standing in this line thinking it's going to be all this grand party. You're looking all fly and getting there and you dance a few minutes. You think when you dance, you mingle and socialize and, okay, I'm hungry, let's go get something to eat. And they kept some little food. And he got another, wonder why I give him this stare every time I look at him. I wish you would have liked me to something else.
All right, kid,
so,
don't catch a case. Don't catch a case, baby.
No, I know, but I think the flyers, you know, some flyers are good. You can look at a flyer, you can know. But when you get word of mouth about a party from somebody
You can't do word of mouth.
And this has to be first cousin. I won't believe anything that come out of my mouth anymore about a party.
What you gonna believe is that you have 2 tickets waiting for you.
Oh.
But it's New Year's
Eve. And I'm not bringing
her. Okay. Okay, don't bring her.
I'm not bringing her.
Leave her alone.
She's gonna be mad,
yes.
But I'm not bringing her. She's not coming.
Well, I bet you one thing. After you leave this party, you're gonna be calling her like, girl, you know what you missed?
Sure.
I heard about your parties. I'm not worried. I heard about your parties.
Okay. I'm glad you're good things about my party. But
yeah, I heard about your
rich,
party.
Yeah. Get Rich your number.
Yeah.
And your name, he's going to forward to me, and I'll give you a call, and you come pick up your tickets.
Okay.
Okay.
My swagger.
Oh, Lord. Hey, you know,
You know, T going to get her 2 cents in.
Yeah, let me let T get her 2 cents in with you guys.
For my swagger?
What's up, babe?
Crazy. Hey, babe.
Nothing much, laying low, under the radar, trying to get this going on. Start the new year right.
I know you are. I miss you.
I miss you too.
Oh, dang, I miss you.
You know I had to come on and say hello and show my love and support to you.
Yeah, you know, you always do, baby. Thank you.
You're welcome, baby. And take care and keep doing the damn thing, okay?
Thank you, baby.
Happy holidays. Right.
You too, baby.
No swag.
Yeah.
I got more people on the line. Let them know what's going down.
Oh, Lord, that T is a mess, boy. I love her, boy.
The T is crazy.
Yo, T remind me of Miss Parker.
Yeah. Miss Parker. Oh, man. No.
Yeah,
well,
we'll have a good time New Year's Eve. We'll have a good time. We'll have a real good time.
Wow. Yeah. Yo, Swag, I got more people on the line. I want you to give them the information one more time, let them know what's going down and everything on December 31st.
Monday, December 31st, my New Year's Eve celebration, 2013, the year of the grown and sexy at Sweet Jane's in New York City. 106th Street between 3rd and Lexington Avenue. Music by Super Rocker DJ E. Kim. Tickets are $40 in advance. With your ticket, you get one drink, one champagne toast, and New Year's Eve giveaway hats, horns, whatever you want to do for New Year's. You can blow the horn, you can put your hat on, you can do what you want to do. All that is free with your ticket.
All right, Swag, I want to tell you, everybody, if you didn't press one, then that's your own fault. Swag gave away tickets tonight. So you heard the address of where it's going down at. Swag, you already told them how they could get the tickets and everything, right?
You can contact me at 917-553-7308 or hit me up on Facebook. My swag is crazy. No shine, no grind, FOH. Also, I want y'all to know that January 27th, I will be promoting a charity basketball game for Alzheimer's, Promoters versus Comedians, at the Kennedy Center in Harlem, New York.
Okay. Oh, all right. You got anything else going on, Swag?
Oh, and my girls, Diva Swag and Phenomenal Women, is having a second event called Welcome to the Sex Room Part 2 at Sweet Jane's. That's January 26th. Music by DJ Smooth Ski, hosted by the Henny Ghost Boogie Black, my partner Crime, my Harlem Rap Pack brother. This is all girl promoters that work with me on my team. They do events also, so come out, support them. They'll be having sex toys there. They'll be having lingerie there. They'll be having some things there.
Oh, damn.
So, ladies, it's a ladies' thing. But there's going to be some men there. But it's a ladies' thing. I'm working on starting my own mentor program. It's like a Big Brothers program called Check Your Swagger.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's black men such as myself that turn our lives around. We've been mentoring. When we start mentoring young, troubled black teenagers. So, I'm on. That's enough.
You're doing it all right now, Swag.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it all. I got to give it back. You know, I'm blessed to have it, so I got to give it back.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all. So, Swag, you know, it's always an honor having you on.
Yes, sir.
I don't know, more people coming on. You know you're welcome anytime. You know, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
We'll also give them the number, the information, and all that, because you know how we do.
Oh,
you know,
sorry to cut you off, Rich. Don't forget, this March, my official birthday party, the 3rd annual Swagger Ball, going to be crazy.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be up in
there. Last year, we did the Harlem Nights theme. We don't know what I'm going to do this year. So, y'all be ready.
That Harlem Nights was crazy. That Harlem
Nights.
My
birthday party, off the chain. The 3rd annual Swagger Ball is coming in March.
Yeah, yo. We're going to be up in there.
Y'all came out last year. We had a good time.
Yeah, for sure. Swag.
You know, I'm just working and staying blessed and sharing my blessings.
That's good. You know, that's all you can do right now.
That's all you can do.
But
thanks for having me on the show.
Swag, you're welcome. Anytime. It's never a problem. Like I said, you know how we do.
Okay.
You know how we do. It's never a problem. For sure, Swag. All
right, one.
Right. My swagger is crazy, Don Jr. All right, y'all. Coming up next, myself, the exclusive interview with me by my executive producer, Lavina for Life. So y'all know everything about Rich Money. Feel free to call. I answer any questions to the best of my abilities, and we're going to keep it moving. So stay right there. We'll be right back with my interview, who's interviewing me, Lavina Polite, my executive producer. This is GQ Palace, Love and Entertainment. It's Butter, baby.
Niggas kill me when I'm stepping It's like I pulled up this on up, like the freaks in the club. You better stay in back, hold your thoughts, my shit is like obstacles. And tearing up the nostrils, like that coke you be bowing through. Like fabulous, you breathe, I ain't putting you down. It's like a mob deep shit, with my peace in the street. This ain't a game that I'm playing, watch words I be speaking to sleep. I'm keeping on your crabs in the night like a demon. My son going in your girl, now I have me a heathen. You think you're dreaming or believing, cause the mind I've been teaching. Tearing up the atoms after stop your ass from breathing. As I caught you in a storm, a respirator is needed. Ripping up the cortex, now your tissue is bleeding. I'm the last one to test, like I told you in stress. I got a brutal information, nigga, leader be making. Niggas fall flat on their face, what shit I be saying. I flip funk like master, when I flex, I get back. I take Whitney out in Houston just to bring me my tax. Do y'all niggas really know who y'all dealing with? All that grilling shit, a saucer kid, a coffin kid, don't make me force a kid. I'm tossing shit, I have the blood running like the force a kid. I lost a kid, a real G, nigga, signing off a kid. I'm a gangster, coming straight out the hood. A real BX banger, nigga, up to no good. Cause I'm a gangster, coming straight out the hood. A real BX banger, nigga, up to no good. Cause I'm a gangster, coming straight out the hood. A real BX banger, nigga, up to no good. Cause I'm a gangster, coming straight out the hood. A real BX banger, nigga, up to no good. Here's a little appetite, just to keep you in mind. I'm wearing my sign, I'm pulling gas out like shine. I'm taking what's mine, cause yours is mine. I'm wasting no time, give me back everything from the girl of your nine. No doubt, fire flames blowing, kid, I'm hot like lava. You're gonna need a whole ocean, son, without this fire. I got you open like the wire, now you want some papaya. You're gonna need something to eat, cause I got your ass riot. You never did drugs before, I got you shaking, I'm raw. I'm like a high you never had when you step through the door. Lyrics blowing through your speakers, lyrics beating your inside. As I got the pressure high, got you feeling like your child. It's a gift that I was born with, so you acknowledge my wisdom. I throw the black hoodie on when I'm ready to hit him. Did you see that movie Saw when he laid on the floor? Hit a blood when it was over, walked his ass out the door. That's the type of shit I'm on when I'm laying a flat. Busting the cat, pulling text out from the back. Grabbing the Mac, knocking niggas off like that. Ain't no holding me back, when I react it's a rap. I always keep myself strapped, I ain't taking no jack. Busting dogs, brain busting cells, popping like snaps. If you had yourself a future, I suggest you relax. Cause it's a fat Joe thing, now nigga lean back. Cause I'm a gangster, coming straight out the hood. A real BX banger, nigga, up to no good. Cause I'm a gangster, coming straight out the hood. A real BX banger, nigga, up to no good. Cause I'm a gangster, coming straight out the hood. A real BX banger, nigga, up to no good. Cause I'm a gangster, coming straight out the hood. A real BX banger, nigga, up to no good.
Welcome back to GQ Palace, and I'm Lavina Polite. I will be conducting the interview for our one and only Rich Money. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to the interview. So we're going to bring Mr. Rich Money on this evening. Rich Money, how are you?
I'm all right, and yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. The track that we just heard, Gangsta, that was your track, correct?
That track was done in 2005. Yes, that was my track.
Okay. And you want to tell us a little bit about that track?
Well, that track is mainly stating the fact, if you think about it, back then we had a lot of MCs that was talking how they do this and how they do that and what they was all about. That track was mainly letting people know I have a team. I had a team at that time called BX Bangers, and letting them know this is how we did down and this is what it was all about. So that's where I'm a gangster come in at. From all the things I had did back in the past, with, you know, I did a couple of things that I'm not thankful for that I did in the past. And, you know, that was sort of what that line was relating to.
Okay. All right, so we're going to just back it up a little bit. I wanted to talk about that track because that was the intro that we played in, that we played for you to come on. But so now you go by Rich Money. But back then you went by Cappuccino Shop?
Yes, I went by Cappuccino Shop at that time.
And how did you come up with that name?
Well, Cappuccino Shop came up with the fact of me having so many names. I had the Ramanologist, I had Sha Cappuccino, and it was somebody named Cappuccino. So what I did was I had liked the fact of me having that name, so instead of keeping Sha Cappuccino, I switched it around to Cappuccino Sha. I actually was just sitting there one day and I was actually drinking a coffee, and I've seen the name. And believe it or not, that's how the name actually came up, for Cappuccino Shop.
Okay, okay. And what age did you start doing music?
Well, I started actually rhyming, emceeing at the age of 14. I was always into music when I was 2 years old. I was into music. My first studio was the Flintstone record player. I don't know how many people was on the line that actually remember the Flintstone record player. But when I was 2 years old, I was always into music, and that's the first record player my mother had gotten. But I had started rhyming at the age of 14. My uncle, Reginald Cooper, had actually got me into it. And that's how I actually got started with the rhyming. He got me, my cousin, my man, Di, all of us into the music. Because he was always into music, always had the equipment and everything. And I guess to take us off the street, he got us into rhyming. You understand? He was like a father figure to us, and that's how I actually got into rhyming.
Okay, so you would pretty much say that with the little instrument that you was given as a toy is what started you doing music? Or was it something that, you know, you just enjoyed listening to and figured you can do it yourself?
No, well, with the instrument, you talk about the 2 years old, when I was two, what happened was I was always dancing. You understand? I always liked music since I was two. No matter what it was, I talk about back with Diana Ross and the Temptations and all of them. I always liked music, you understand? Back to Sugar Hill, everything. I just enjoyed the music scenery. You understand? But the rhyming actually came in at the age of 14, like I was saying. My uncle had got me involved in that, you understand? Because he was doing music, you understand? So he actually told me, you know, write a rhyme. And actually the first rhyme I ever wrote when I was 14 was The Flintstone Kid. Because I was actually bonding about it. It was called Flintstone Kids. So it kind of like narrowed on to it as well, you know. So it kind of narrowed on to it.
Okay, now were you in a group or was it just a couple people that was working with you and everybody was pretty much independent?
No, at that time I wasn't in a group. I had wound up teaming up with a friend of mine named Troy Hill. You know, and me and Troy, I was about 16 at the time. And we actually did an event at Savoy. I met Troy. We grew up together. Troy was always into rhyming. It came to the point where it was at a point where me and Troy used to always battle each other. And then it came to the point where we got together as a group. You know, we had a thing, this is EPMD. We had a rhyme called 1-2 that we won at the Savoy Manor, you know, the crowd. But being that the judge, his wife was also a contestant. So me and Troy actually won that event, but he gave it to his wife and him. And, you know, Troy got upset. He got mad. He didn't want to rhyme no more. So I became becoming back a solo artist. But I had a partner with me, Troy, for that small length of time.
Okay. And would you consider yourself a rapper or an MC?
I would consider myself both. For the simple fact, I consider myself as a rapper because I know how to move the crowd. I know how to entertain people. That's what I was doing back then. And I call myself an MC because of the lyrical skills that I had. It wasn't just talking nonsense. I was also sending out messages to people. You understand? Even if it came to a fact where it was like a gangster rap, it was a message that I was sending. I wasn't just talking just to be talking to try to do something for the crowd at that time. When I was actually MCing, that's what I was doing. I wrote a rhyme about my mother. I wrote a rhyme about myself. I wrote a rhyme about my voice. I wrote a rhyme about my man that passed away. God bless his dad, named LeBar. So I consider myself more in both levels of that.
Okay, now were you, I mean, you were in the music industry for over 20 years. So were you signed to any independent labels or
Actually, at the time, I was signed to Zakiya with Robert Hill. He had Eric B. and Rakim on the label and King's Son. I wasn't signed to him with Zakiya Records. But the thing with Robert Hill was, he just kept giving me money. You know, there wasn't nothing wrong with that, but at the time, I was young and I was anxious and I wanted to perform. So me and a friend of mine, Doc Tim, we had went to his house, you understand, and he didn't want to give me a release. He wanted to actually keep me. So he finally backed down, and I wound up getting a release from him. But that was one of the major labels I was with. But it was just the fact of him that he kept giving me money, trying to hold me to his label. You understand? And I wanted to leave his label because I actually met somebody named B. Montgomery, who I had a manager at that time that introduced me to B. Montgomery. Now, B. Montgomery had Up and Rising Stars. So now, I'm doing shows with B. Montgomery, and I ain't getting no money. So I'm like, wait a minute, there got to be something wrong here, because now I'm doing these shows, and I ain't getting no money. And, you know, as time went, like you said, I've been in there 20 years, so as time went on, I wound up going with this dude named Kev, and he introduced me to Rob Swinger, Chub Rock DJ. So I wound up going down Brooklyn, doing a track with Rob Swinger, who was Chub Rock DJ. I did a track with Jay Michaels, who I was informed that was Babyface's cousin, did a track with him. Now, I also was with Two Hot Records.
Okay.
That was with my man, Da. I'm pretty sure he'll call in soon. I was dealing with him and Charlie D from the Rockmaster Dynamic 3. And he had called me because he wanted me to go with his label. So I was like, all right, no problem. Went with his label and everything. So I wound up doing a remix. Now, who don't know the Rockmaster 3? They're the ones who made The Roof Is On Fire and Request Line. DJ, please pick the phone up on the request line. So I wound up doing a remix with Charlie D, but he wound up getting mad because it was a group of us. I can't recall how many it was. There was a group of us, but he wanted to come out first. You understand?
Okay.
It was him, my man Da, and Ray, which they agreed that, you know, he can't come out first. I guess he figured that he was a pioneer and he was already out there, he should come out first. But his skills wasn't like he thought they was. So
apparently
he saying, you know, Da, he got upset, Ray got upset, and they was like, nah, you can't come out first. So the whole thing wound up being, you know, in a situation where that has stopped. You understand?
Okay.
Then I met Jeff Robinson. He lived in a project from me, in Bronxdale Projects. What happened was, a friend of mine told me Jeff Robinson over there, he's a manager, he's doing things. So I was like, okay, I took my CD over to him, he heard it, and he was like, you know, I like your CD, I like what you're doing, I like what you got, but right now, I'm dealing with a female. When I finish with this female, then I'm going to come to you. But by me being young and impatient, I wasn't waiting. And come to find out, the female that Jeff Robinson was dealing with was Alicia Keys.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, did you write your own music?
I write all my music. I write everything that you hear, that from back then, everything I wrote myself. There was nobody helped me with anything.
Okay. Have you written any music for any other artists?
No, I never wrote, I just plainly wrote for myself. If somebody had asked me, like I said, it was just Charlie D. I wrote music for him. Probably a couple of other people, but they wasn't known, you understand, nothing like in the industry or anything like that at that time.
Okay, and what about the production on your music?
Well, my production, all my production, except for maybe one or two tracks, was done by R. Coop, Reginald Cooper, my uncle. He's the one that does all my productions for my tracks. I probably went to the studio because my first CD back then when I was 14, I went to the studio. That was done in the studio That was so long ago, I couldn't even recall their name. But the recent CD, that last one I did in 2005, all the productions were done by Art Cool.
All right, well, we do have a couple of your tracks. What I want to do is I want to go to one more of your tracks. I have The Back.
Okay.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Okay, The Back. The Back was actually done by me and R. Cool. What happened was he had this track, and he played it, and he was actually singing on the chorus. And I was like, yo, let me get that track. Let me do something with that track. At first, he hesitated for a while, but then he wound up giving me the track. And
mm-hmm.
believe it or not, that specific single was supposed to come out first when I was dealing in the music industry, because that's like a club mix. And that
okay.
was one of the singles that was supposed to come out first, The Back.
Wow. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to go to that track to let the listeners listen, and then we're going to go to a couple callers, and then we'll continue on with the interview.
Sounds good.
All right, Jonathan Beavers, this is The Back, the original version by your one and only Rich Money. Stay tuned.
The R2 Banger. Royal Flesh.
Yeah.
BX Bangers.
We in here. Come on.
Keep your back up on the wall.
Keep
climbing. Come on. Keep your back up on the wall.
I see you over there, baby.
Let it ride.
Come here.
Come on. True drugs don't roll in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
We gon' keep it gully in the back of the club.
Yeah.
It's
my world, your girl. I pimp her like she's wholesale. Drop it like it's high, like Snoop Dogg and Pharrell. I play it like a player do. Smash it when I come through. While you on the avenue, drinking 40s with your crew. Nigga, I'm a player. You spoil her, I slay her. While you buying clothes, I'll be buying condom flavors. Believe that, I don't slack. I have her hit that climax. Why you think she tired every time that you get home black? This shit is not depression nor attitude. It's gratitude. Cause I blew her back out like a real nigga supposed to do. That's why I'm a player, a hustler, and a baller. She told her mother now she's addicted like a daughter. Her friend wanna sample, but I heard she placed the order. It's like summertime and my dick is spring water. Don't ever try to judge me, attempt to corrupt me. Cause I'll be that nigga to have the whole screaming fuck me. Y'all niggas can't touch me. Fuck around and you get touched. It's like that fucking heroin that gets coke. I'm too much. So think about your hoe before you start to call her wifey. You can't turn a hoe into a housewife, a hype.
Keep your back up on the wall. Grind, come on, yeah. Keep your back up on the wall.
Let it ride.
Come on. True drugs don't roll in the middle of the floor. We gon' keep it gully in the back of the club. Keep the lights low, let the hottie show me love. We gon' keep it gully in the back of the club.
I'm solo with a dope. Like a chokehold, my stats is kinda local, like these fucking thug homos. Kick shit, that's impossible. Tearing up the cranium. Now your clip is bad, cause I'm killing them, I'm slaying them. Niggas call me hell, cause I'm a fire, it's a real thing. Have no ass carry like Mariah, hitting hot slings. God bless the dead, I'm like Biggie, kicking in the door. Once you hit the floor, it's like, don't hit me no more. So run fast, to get blast. I'm a hunter on a bloodbath, it won't last, so be glad when I hit, it's a bloodbath. There's no bluff, don't get snuffed, I guaranteed you get rushed. So hold up, don't get bust, fronting like you so tough. Visualize, I terrorize, giving pain like a 4-5. I heard your last request was, please, I don't wanna die. The swift records for your flesh, BX ain't having it. My BS banger is slaying niggas, it's a habit, kid. Commit suicide, suicidal's on a rifle. Hold the Bible, tell your boys your ass is about to die soon. Shit is getting black, past thoughts is coming back. Nigga, that's how it is, before you die when you collapse.
Keep your back up on the wall. Grind, come on, yeah. Keep your back up on the wall.
Let it ride.
Come on. True drugs don't roll in the middle of the floor. We gon' keep it gully in the back of the club. Keep the lights low, let the hottie show me love. We gon' keep it gully in the back of the club.
All right, welcome back to GQ Palace, and we're going to start taking some callers real fast. Welcome to GQ Palace. Can I have your name, please?
This is T.
Hey, T, how are you?
All right. Hey, Rich Money.
What's going on, T?
Nothing much. I have a question. If you could turn back the hands of time, would you consider being a rapper now?
Yes, because you know why? Back then, I let some people discourage me into doing certain things.
Okay.
You understand? So that's why I really stopped. I felt like, you understand, as much as I've been through, if I would have kept going and doing what I was supposed to have been doing, instead of letting people discourage me, and I let only one person discourage me, I'm going to keep that anonymous, but I let one person just discourage me to the fact of they didn't like the fact of me going somewhere else.
Okay.
You understand?
Okay.
So, and that's the type of person, when you look up to somebody and they tell you things like that, it pushes you back. And that's what I let happen to me. So if I could change something back as far as being in the middle of the industry, I would.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, just from listening to the couple of tracks, I mean, they bangers. Honestly, you know, and the talent that you have, you know, it would be no stopping you. I mean, how long ago you say?
This was about maybe 20 years ago.
I mean, just think where you could be today.
2005 is when, it could have happened, you know, but,
you know. You know, it's still not too late. You know what I'm saying? It's never too late. But, you know, you would have to put a whole lot more into it where you already have this, you know. But
you
can be done.
I figured it is late for me, you know. I think I'm a little too old right now, to be honest. I'm happy with, you know, with my GQ College family and the GQ College that's going on.
You know,
God works in mysterious ways.
He does.
Because
this could take you far, too, you know. And I definitely want to say I'm happy to be a part of the GQ family because, hey, it's a feeling that no other – it's just a great feeling – to be part of the GQ family, you know, and to be there from day one, it's even a better feeling. You know, and I want to definitely thank you and Lavina, you know, for having me, you know, to roll and rock with y'all. And keep up the good work that you are doing. Seriously.
We have, we're going to go to a couple of callers. But before we take another caller, Rich Money, I do want to ask you: how do you feel about not waiting for Jeff Robinson to work with you? Do you feel like you missed out on the opportunity? Okay, Rich Money, you there?
Can you hear me? I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes,
I'm sorry.
Like
I'm sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. One part of me feel like yes, another part feel like, you know, like I was telling T, God works in mysterious ways. If I really felt that confidence with the situation, I would have been going back. I'm like, okay. But, you know, everything happens for a reason. So by me not going back to him, it was for a reason. You understand? I just felt like, you know, you can't turn back hands of time. So I'm happy where I'm at now, but I'm not upset of what happened back then by me not going back. I felt like it put me on another level to do other things, like the radio station that I got going now and meeting a whole new family of GQ pilots that I have with me now.
Yeah, we're definitely going to get into that because I do want to ask you some questions about GQ pilots as well. But what we're going to do is we're going to go to another caller, okay?
Okay, no problem.
Okay. Welcome to GQ pilots. Can I have your name, please?
Yeah, can you hear me? This is Doc Kim.
Hey, how
are
you?
Okay.
Hey, what's going on? Listen, up and foremost, Polite, you're doing an excellent job. The interview was very something fruitful. Shy. My dude.
Okay, what I forgot, it was Spike Drop. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not actually going to that. People do not understand your struggles. I've been in your life for almost what? Well, 42, approximately like 36, 37 years. I knew this man from up and down through his struggle, I actually was part of the BX family, you know what I'm saying, far as they know what I'm saying, back then. And I'm gonna let people know exactly the reason behind BX Singers, and you hit it right on the nose. Me and my man Shy, before even the music business, you know, we done a lot of things in our life that we don't really, you know, like to brag about, and that's the reason why he does what he does, and I do what I do as far as when Mexican action. We both basically grew up without our fathers, you know what I'm saying, as far as in, like, being in our lives. So, you know, our coup, which basically was the main focus behind Shy's success as a rhymer, rapper, MC, he took both of us in. I mean, he basically, you know, took us out of the street. I mean, yo, he dedicated his whole life. This man used to actually go to work for 12 hours, and then right after work, he'll come pick me and Shy up and do whatever he wanted to do. So I definitely commend R. Coop for that. The funny part about how Shy actually got into rhyming, me, R. Coop, and Shy used to be in the house, and we used to lip sync songs. We used to actually be in the house, yo, lip syncing songs. And, you know, it's funny. Sean's laughing because I'm the only one that had no rhythm. Everybody, I'm saying my rhythm was off. I was off. I was done. But it's funny because Sean, yo, I swear, everything I love, I'm talking about, and it had nothing to do with rap. It's like we used to actually do love ballads. That's the funny part about it. You know what I'm saying? We used to actually, like, lip sync love ballads. And you remember, Love in the House, and we got the key.
That was one of the joints.
Yeah, that was one of the joints. Let me tell you something. Him and Coop used to actually kill that song. You know what I'm saying? So all
that's when I was doing my own echoes, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And it's funny because I'm like, yo, Shy, hold up, man. You need to write a rhyme, kid, because you got talent. You know what I'm saying? And I told Shy, I say, listen. He did. It's funny because a lot of people don't know that he wrote a song about his mom long time ago. Long time. He even played it on the radio one time. And he done it not because he wanted to become a rapper or MC or whatever the case might be. He dedicated the song because, like I said, we grew up without our fathers. You know what I'm saying? And his mother, you know what I'm saying, with Miss Chandler, I love her to death. She was in his man's life for years. I'm talking about she did what she had to do to make sure Shy was the man he is today. So he actually wrote a song, and he was a teenager at the time, you know what I'm saying, about his mom. And he just left it like that. That's the funny part. He just left it, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, because he had the love for his mother. He had the love for the game. He just had the love for his mom. And as years went by, when R. Coop came in our lives, Shy started basically, you know, writing rhymes. He was nice. When I said nice, I'm talking about me personally, I felt, and I agree with Shy, and I love that question you asked. I think Ms. T was like, if you could do it all over again, you know what I'm saying, as far as with, I think, no, you asked him that question, right, Ms. Polite, about Mr. Robinson, if he could actually go back to Mr. Robinson, would he actually feel like he would take that?
Right.
Right, that was the question, right?
Yeah, it was, does he feel like he missed out, you know, by not waiting, you know?
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you something. Only reason why I believe my man Shy answered that question correctly and on point, because that man was definitely playing around with his talent. He had talent, and the man knew he had talent because he was giving him money. He was giving him upfront money because I...
No, you're talking about that. No, that was Robin Hill.
Robin Hill. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry.
That
was
Robin Hill who you talk about. Robin Hill, everything about him.
Yeah, yeah, we went to his house.
When we went to his house, I just told him that, too.
Yeah, yeah, we went to his house. Listen, my man had talent. And the funny part about it, I'm saying, is that the dude was holding out on him. He was shot with a kid, you know what I'm saying? So when you give kid candy and whatever, you know what I'm saying, whatever the kid needs, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you know what I'm saying, he's going to think that he got him on point. He shot was getting a lot of money. I substituted candy with money because that's how, you know what I'm saying, we was young at the time. The guy was giving shot money, and, you know, and shot was, you know what I'm saying, looking like a $1 million. But then, like shot was saying, shot had the love for the music. He didn't want the money. He wanted to actually be in the game. So Shaw was like, yo, listen, you know what I'm saying? Yo, this dude, you know what I'm saying? He's not moving the way I want him to move. You know what I'm saying? I'm not actually, you know what I'm saying, getting no type of deal. So we went to his house. I mean, I'm not going to tell you how we got him out the contract, but we didn't get
We're going to keep that discreet. We're going to keep that discreet.
We're going to keep that discreet, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, you know, and it's funny because the second deal Shy got, I was actually his background dancer, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's right, yo.
We did a video. Let me tell you something. People don't even know we did a video on everything. You know what I'm saying? And I'm just going to get off that topic because, like I said, I got a lot to talk about, but I know it's all about shots. But, yo, listen, my man, I commend you. You know what I'm saying? Yo, listen, a lot of people don't know what you went through in your life. I've been there from day one until now, and I commend you. And I, you know, you're a strong man. You're a strong individual. You know what I'm saying? Keep up the good work. You know what I'm saying? And everybody don't know this, but I'm going to let everybody know I'm his biggest fan. I'm the one that kept telling him over and over and over and over again to play his tracks. He's like, nah, 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 I'm not with that, nah. I'm like, Yasha, you're not. Listen, I had to beg this dude to play his track because I believe in him, and I know he believes in himself, but he, that's what I love about him because he don't think about himself. He thinks about others. And I think right. That's why we in the position we in right now. You have the show. You're trying to help other people out. You're bringing them out. I got the men taking action. I'm trying to do what I do.
Yeah, matter of fact, and, God, beforehand, let them know a little something about your men taking action as well.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I mean, you don't mind about this little plug in right now?
No, God. That's why I just said it. That's why I just said it.
I was trying to sneak it in. I listen. Yo, actually, we actually doing an event tomorrow, actually. We actually doing our Projector 25. Projector 25 is actually a foundation, a men's taking action actually growing up, where it takes care of children and women that unfortunately they are in shelters. And, you know, on Christmas time, whatever the case might be, the economy-wise, they can't really afford, you know, for anything for their kids. So what we do is that we go down there, we donate clothes, we donate toys, we play with them. And I was listening to, you know, my man Swag. We also try to do a little mentoring as well. You know what I'm saying? As far as that, talk to the kids, let them know that, you know, that everything is about the future. Don't look at now, but think about your future, and the future is definitely going to get brighter. So that's what we're doing tomorrow. We're actually having that on Brooklyn Community Services and Housing over there on Carlton Avenue in Brooklyn, New York. And we just got finished doing the calendar, you know what I'm saying, for the sickle cell. It's basically about transit workers that basically well-fitted. We try to promote fitness and health because, you know, a lot of kids, for some reason, you know, back in our day, you know what I'm saying, we were basically, you know, our exercise was basically red light, green light, you know what I'm saying,
exactly.
Kicking and, you know
exactly.
what I'm saying, running around the block, you know what I'm saying, inventing games, you know what I'm saying, and also keeping in shape. Nowadays, you know, everything is about the Xbox 3, the Wii, Woo, and, you know what I'm saying, the PlayStation. So a lot of kids don't really go out there and try to exercise and stuff like that. So with the calendar, we try to promote fitness and health and actually also donate the proceeds towards sickle cell anemia. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we try to do to give back to the community. But like I said, that's what your passion is, music. So this is what GQ Palace is about. It's about basically giving back. And I commend you for that. I commend you for that. You know what I'm saying?
Now, Dad, do you want to give the address? I know you gave the addresses on Carlton Avenue, but what's the time for it tomorrow and can anyone donate?
Yes, yes. Tomorrow is actually, we're going to be there at 12:30 a.m. to 3 o'clock. I mean, I'm sorry, 3:30 p.m. to 3 o'clock p.m. It's basically for little kids from 1 month to 6 years old. And also, at the same time, we're dealing with the women, not men. It's a women's shelter that basically, you know, unfortunately, they've been abused or, you know, just mentally just been taken out of their oasis. So, you know, you've been put in the unfortunate situation, so we're trying to miss them as well.
Okay.
Now, if anyone wanted to contact you about Men Taking Action and just taking part in it or purchasing one of the calendars, how would they go about doing that?
Yes. I'm going to give you my email first. My email address, if the fact that you want to be part of Men Taking Action, is D, as in dog, Gatlin, at menTakingActionUTEInc.org, or if they want to actually go and to see exactly what our event is about and see what our future event, they could go into menTakingActionUTEInc.org and go into our website. And everything as far as the pictures that we've done in the future, I mean the past, and everything we're going about to do in the future is actually going to be right there on the website. Or they could just basically just text me or call me, 917-254-0444. Business only. Yeah, I had to put that out there.
Yeah, you got to put that out there, man. Business only.
Yes,
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But
I honor you, my brother. I definitely honor you.
Listen, my dude, listen, man. You're doing an excellent job, man. I love what you're doing. You're expanding. Your way of thought is definitely there. And you definitely have a nice team, kid. You know what I'm saying? Your family, your GQ family, you know, they got you 100%. I already know that. Of course, I know Ms. Polite. She's doing an excellent job. The magazine is phenomenal. I want to thank you for that also, Ms. Polite, for that magazine article that you actually done on Men Taking Action. I love it. Like I said, man, keep up the good work, my dude.
No doubt, yo. No doubt. You too.
Yeah, and I miss, you know what? And the funny part about it, yo, listen, I want to apologize to Swagger. I'm on the phone. You know, it's funny because I was trying to get one of them free tickets, but I didn't know I had to put one, okay? No, Jay, but it's all love, though. No, Jay, I'm definitely going to be there in March, you know, because my birthday is March 18th, so I'm definitely going to be in that Harlem Night jump off. But, Jay, I want to actually continue this this conversation that you and Levita's having because I'm loving it. And BX Bangers, that's my track. That's my track. That gangster, they don't understand. Yo, listen, before I even get off, a lot of people don't know. When Sha wrote that, let me tell you something. When Sha wrote that gangster, and it's another song that he used to play called Stress. Believe me, my man was definitely stressed out when he did them songs. You know what I'm saying?
You know, she just brought it to my mind because she did ask, did I write for anybody else? Yes,
right.
I did.
Yes. Exactly.
I'm on fire. Oh, man, I forgot about that. I wasn't even thinking. Yep.
Yeah, but like I said, I've been your biggest fan for years, my dude. I'm saying, you know what? It's not even being forgetful. It's because the fact is you have the love for the game. You know what I'm saying? You're not in it for the money. You're not in it for the fame. A lot of things you could have actually done and sold your soul to, you didn't do it because the fact is, you know what I'm saying, that you're more about yourself than anything else. And I love you for that, my dude. You know what I'm saying? So don't even think you made a mistake about anything. God is good. And believe me, you know what I'm saying? You're going to be big.
Good luck, your friend.
No doubt, my dude. Thank you. Keep up
there. For life. You know how that goes.
Oh, yeah, of course. What would you just say, kid? No saying this is brother for another mother, kid? That's what it is.
No doubt. My brother from another mother, for sure.
No doubt.
I definitely want to give Mr. Dakim a round of applause for just being, you know, faithful and committed, you know, to Rich Money, a.k.a. Cappuccino Sha. You know, definitely want to give him, you know, definitely. You know,
thanks.
Good friends are hard to find. You know, when you find them, you make sure you, you know, hang on to them. You know, definitely
yes,
hang
ma'am.
On to them.
So. Yes, ma'am. Okay, that's my dude for life. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
Just got nothing but love for him. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, don't say, yo, listen, Sha, you keep doing what you do, man. You know what I'm saying? You got my number. I know you support me 100%. And like
no
I said, I'm going to have your back 100%.
For sure.
All right. All right, well, thank you for calling in. We're going to go to another caller real fast.
All right.
But I do want to say the phone lines are, they are lit up. The number is 646-238-3838 and press 1. At this point, it's about 9:06, and everything that that's said is, and the callers are in the queue right now. Callers, you guys are able to get on the air by just pressing the 1 button. Anyone else is going to have to listen to the archives, but we are going to continue the interview as well as play a couple more of Sha's tracks as well. So just hold the line, but I'm taking another caller. Welcome to DC Palace. Can I have your name, please?
This is Shelly.
Hey, Shelly, how are you?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
All right.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Shelly.
How are you?
How are you? I'm okay.
I'm good. I was just listening and everything. You're doing big things, sir. You're doing a lot of big things, a whole lot of big things, and I'm very happy for you, and I'm excited, and, you know, keep doing those things, you know. It's good. It's butter, baby.
No, thank you.
Well, what I wanted to ask you, Rich, that's, I'm going to start calling you Sean now, but what I wanted to ask you was, do you have any new projects that you're working on, some upcoming things, you know, that you're trying to get in the fire?
What you mean, like musical? You talk about in general?
Yeah, just anything.
with the GQ Palace, you know, with your music.
Well,
and,
we
you know,
actually, what's actually going on right now, what we're dealing with GQ Palace, next year, we're going to do a fundraiser for diabetes.
Okay.
We're going to have some commercials come out soon on GQ Palace. You know, we're putting that up in the making. We're dealing with almost 200 corporations got to set that up.
Okay.
Wow, it's just so much. It's just so much. As far as the music thing, no, I'm not dealing with the music thing no more. I'm not even going to try to put myself on being a 45-year-old rapper, 40-year-old rapper, 41-year-old rapper on stage, breathing hard, falling down. You know, I'm not putting myself in that situation. It ain't even gonna go like that. But as far as GQ Palace,
working behind the scenes.
I mean, yeah, but you know, after doing it for so long, you get a writer's block. You understand? So that will actually put more pressure compared to the fact of what I'm trying to establish with my family with GQ Palace. And then that'll put more pressure to me starting to write again. So I figure, you know, like I said, God worked in mysterious ways. GQ Palace and the family is for a reason, you know. But I'm working on big things with them. Like, we got a CD out that we had put out, you know, that got the Force MDs on it, exclusive tracks by the Delfinas featuring Rick Ross, Chuck Rock, the Force MDs new track, Ross Dashes featuring D-Block, Casanova Rudd, Anaya, Armstead, Boogie Black's on it. You understand? So I'm in the workings of doing more things with GQ Palace. Hopefully by next year, I will get to the point where when my team walk down the street, people will say, okay, you from GQ Palace. That's what I'm looking at. The magazine, I want to turn it into Ebony magazine. You understand?
Oh,
the record label, I want to get it into Motown. You understand? That's the feel I'm trying to get at. And I'm trying to keep it with my team that I got now.
Okay. Well, I would like to take the time to say, even though I am a rookie to the DJ Palace family, as well as the Diva Squad on Wednesdays, check us out at 8:10.
Yeah, give you a little plug in now. Go ahead.
Definitely tune in to us, as well as the other shows. And I just want to say that I'm very, very excited to be a part of the GQ family. And like I said, I cannot express enough how the GQ Palace family has gotten Shelly through storms. You guys just don't know. Eventually you'll know. You know, during the shows, I might feel a little bit more. But I just want to let y'all know, seriously, that I'm trying to press on every show, you know? I mean, I love the shows. I really do. I really love them. And like I said, you guys have gotten me through the storm. And I want to say, Lavina, my mom, you are awesome.
Thank
you. Know, you're working everything. You're behind the scenes, working everything. You're doing a real, real good job. And, Rich, I'm just glad to be a part of the GQ Palace family.
Well, I'm working some things too now. You know, give me a little E for effort, you know.
Okay.
I'm working some things too now. Give me a little E for effort, you know.
I gave you your E.
Okay, so I know we, of course, time is of the essence, so we're going to go to another caller. Shelly, make sure you stay on the air with us.
Okay.
All right, but before we do that, since we jumped over to the topic of GQ Palace, Rich Money, how did you start GQ Palace?
Well, GQ Palace was actually started. I was always, like I said, into music. I knew about the switchboards and everything. So I was dealing with somebody, and I was doing a switchboard. Now, the person I was dealing with, they was only really putting out pioneers. They wasn't putting out, you know, up-and-coming artists, comedians, or anything like that. So what happened was, after I developed a GQ page. That's how it all started. I developed a GQ page, which GQ actually stands for General Question. And what happened was I put it on Facebook and I got like 50 comments. So I was like, hey, wait a minute. So I did it again the next day and I put GQ, General Question, and I got about 70 or 80 comments.
Okay.
And after that, that's when I got with Da, and I was like, yo, Da, I got this page. You know, we get your people, we get our people, boom. We do this page, and we call it GQ, General Question. So we did it, whatever. You know, things work out. Things went on and on. But it came to find out, you know, I wanted to do the radio station. You understand?
Okay.
So as you, Miss Polite, I came to you, and I said, Miss Polite, I am actually thinking about doing a radio station. And you was like, go ahead, do it. You could do it. And I was like, okay, you know what? That's just what I'm going to do. And that's how GQ Palace actually came apart. And it first came out October 21st of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
So when I did GQ Palace, my thing was to help up-and-coming artists, models, pioneers, producers, promoters, DJs, comedians. It was to get everybody on that one show instead of, like, other labels just doing pioneers, other labels just doing up-and-coming artists. I wanted to do something where I get everybody on that one show and specifically get a segment for each of them, which is the general question that I have started off with.
Okay, and when you originally started GQ Palace, you started with the one show, correct?
Exactly. I started with one show for GQ Palace, and then it came to a point where Steph Dallas came along. I got introduced to Steph Dallas, and he was like a ratchet person. Because you see people talking on the computer about, you know, the ratchetness on the computer. So it was like, okay, it's good to have that on the radio, but we have to do parental advisory. And that's
right.
When I, you know, me and you as well got Steph Dallas, you understand, and put Steph Dallas on. And that's how Love, Life, and Loyalties came apart. Then it was the sports. So I figure, okay, we got the love and entertainment on Friday. We got love, life, and loyalty on Monday. Let's get sports. We wind up doing the sports. To make a long story short, you know, we had some people in sports, and, you know, situations occurred, so it got switched up. And we now have the mayor who's doing the sports.
Right.
You understand? So that's when sports came about on Tuesday, GPS, GQ Palace Sports. Then it came Love Fantasy, okay, on Wednesdays. You understand? So now you got Love and Entertainment from 6 to 9. You got
on
Love,
Friday,
Life, and Loyalty on Fridays, yes. You got Love and Entertainment on Fridays from 6 to 9. Then you got Love, Life, and Loyalties on Mondays from 7 to 9, which is a ratchet show, which we specifically put up there, no children, adults only. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Then we got Tuesdays. From 8 to 10, that's the sports with the mayor. And now Love Fantasy comes along. There was somebody I had for Love Fantasy, but come to find out, like I say, you can't work with everybody. Because some people, you give them a shot, and then you give them another shot, they try to take it to an advantage. You understand?
Right.
So I got rid of that person, and I got females, which is called Love Fantasy, and they call the Diva Squad on Wednesdays from 8 to 10, which is a good idea because if you think about it, as GQ Palace is coming along, every episode that I'm mentioning, nobody's actually doing. Because what we're doing is we're trying to get something for everybody. So that's where the Diva Squad comes in at. So now you have the Love, Life, and Loyalties, the Ratchet. You have the Sports with the Mayor. And you have the Diva Squad playing the hottest slow jams in R&B and discussing their grown and sexy topics. And which means that's good because you don't hear on the internet three females. That could collaborate with each other to get a topic going and play the hottest slow jams in R&B.
Right.
You understand? And that's where that came along. And then it came along where Spiritual Sunday. You understand? See, so we're mainly trying to get everything for everybody. With Spiritual Sunday is, as you know, as yourself, as the host, you understand, from 7 to 9, which you have some of the powerful ministers, evangelists, pastors, elders, preachers, however you want to put it, and you get people to call in with their testimony, which is a very deep show on Wednesday. So even if you haven't gone to church, when you go and you listen to Spiritual Sunday, you're in church. You understand? You're in church and you're listening to these pastors as well as yourself, as you're letting them know what's going on, reading scriptures of the Bible as well as playing gospel music, with people coming on and giving their testimonies. When you have these ministers also, and these evangelists that's actually praying for people who come on to GQ Palace and ask for prayer.
Right.
You understand? So that's mm-hmm. where Spiritual Sunday had came in, from 7 to 9. And then you got the last show is Relation, Lies, and Deceits with Dr. Feelgood, where he discusses relationships, which is also on a Monday show, you understand? And he discusses his relationship, but sometimes it could be in a explicit manner, you understand? So that's why we don't want no kids also on that, you understand? But what he says, it might offend people because it says Relation, Lies, and Deceit, but it shouldn't, because he's still speaking about relationships. He's just not holding back what he's saying. You understand?
Right.
He's saying what's on his mind as an adult, speaking to an adult, where if he chooses he want to curse or say this, that's how he feel. And if you choose you want to say that dealing with your relationship, which everybody knows, if you're in a relationship, you're going to curse regardless. You understand? So that's mm-hmm. where Relation, Lies, and Deceit coming at. So that's how GQ Palace went from one show to six, which is Friday from 6 to 9, Love and Entertainment with myself. Mondays, Love, Life, and Loyalties from 7 to 9 with Steph Dallas. Then from 9 to 10, you got Relation, Lies, and Deceits with Dr. Feelgood. Then on Tuesdays, you got GPS, GQ College Sports with the Mayor. Then on Wednesdays, you have Love Fantasy with the Diva Squad, which consists of T.C. Holland, Rachel A. Smith, and Michelle Shelley Jackson, three females that are doing the Diva Squad. And then you have the Sunday with Spiritual Sunday with yourself. So mainly the thing with GQ Palace is for me to get something for everybody. Because you have some people that might feel, okay, well, he got this Spiritual Sunday on this show, and he got this going on this show, and that going on that show, but there should be no problem. As long as that Sunday show, that's why on that Sunday show, there's no promotion or anything. It's strictly for the man above. Now, if you're a true person, being that if you're truthful to yourself and you're listening to God, there should be no limit to whatever GQ Palace does that should feel like, okay, well, I'm not going to go on this show because they got this Monday show going on, and then they got the Sunday show going on. Because if you think about it, you got BET with gospel, you understand, and they got something with the same thing. It's just probably not as much profanity, but it is the same thing. And if you're a true person of God, you're going to listen to Spiritual Sunday regardless of the fact. But it's connected to all the shows.
All right. So what we're going to do, because of course I said that the lines are lit up and we do have a couple more callers to go to, I want to go to another one of your tracks real fast. Put Your Hands Up.
Okay. Put Your Hands Up is a track that's mainly you in a club. I'm mainly talking to the club. It's like, you know, you got the females and you got the guys. You always hear somebody saying, put your hands up, put your hands up. So my thing, well, put your hands up. I'm telling the guys that's getting that money, put your hands up. And I'm telling the females that's getting that money, put your hands up. Because you shouldn't make one person feel like they're doing more than the other. You understand? It's also based about how I'm feeling at that point of time. But regardless of how I'm feeling, I still want you to put your hands up. You understand?
All right. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to go to that single. And then we're going to come back and we're going to take a couple callers, okay?
All right.
All right.
Drilling niggas while I'm spilling it. That clever shit for you to try to blow, that's irrelevant. Heaven shit is tearing up your ass like it's never been better than the average nigga trying to get ahead of you. You'll never win. My shit is off the heezy for sheezy. Y'all niggas better believe me. I'm climbing like Georgia Weezy. I'm about to get my shit together. Striking niggas like bad weather. Whatever you wanna get it, you're with it. Get those shit split. Money, forget it. You dig it, end it. My shit is just splendid. Hitting y'all niggas, tearing y'all niggas with the little shit. Giving depression, manifesting. This shit here is a license. Should have been tested when you know I'm blowing with perfection. Hopping and stopping it. It ain't happening, so box it. This niggas know that I'm rocking this avenue, blue like a lot of this shit, making it hot with hit. Got your ass, just rocking this shit. Now who's the baddest nigga? You don't know, then ask your bitch. All my players that ballin', my niggas, put your hands up. So all my feelers getting that paper, put your hands up. So all my players that ballin', my niggas, put your hands up. So all my feelers getting that paper, put your hands up. So all my players that ballin', my niggas, put your hands up. So all my feelers getting that paper, put your hands up. So all my players that ballin', my niggas, put your hands up. So all my feelers getting that paper, put your hands up. I'm taking it, breaking it, hurting niggas cause I'm making it. The hater shit, I have no ass, planted in the dirt. Kid. Taking body parts like I'm such a kid. God bless you, kid. If you live, I highly respect you, kid. But since you're not, hold that spot.
spot. Tell your mother, get that plot. Medical assistance is required when my shit is fired. Niggas ain't saying nothing. Fucking y'all niggas is stunning. Not like 50, really. Niggas ain't big bullies. I cut up, dead up, fuck around, and you get wet up. Cause you try to do what you can do. And that's your head up. Sucking your arm. When I spit, it's like you're shooting shit. My shit is like dope. Don't you know? I have to lean again. My lyrical function is crushing like destruction when I'm busting. Tearing up something. I feel your heart thumping when I'm coming. Niggas is home. Trying to act like they stomp and shit. As far as I know, my crit's the only one born with soul. My players that's balling. My niggas, put your hands up. To all my people getting that paper. Put your hands up. To all my players that's balling. My niggas, put your hands up. To all my people getting that paper. Put your hands up. To all my players that's balling. My niggas, put your hands up. To all my people getting that paper. Put your hands up. To all my players that's balling. My niggas, put your hands up. To all my people getting that paper. Put your hands up. I'm dropping it, knocking it. Haters mad because I'm locking it. It's like a crowd of people talking shit now. And I'm stopping it. I'm feeling like a cop when I step on the block. Niggas watch. Leaving the scene. Look at steam. You know what I mean. They can't take the pressure like when it starts. We're really in agony. For you to challenge me is like a tragedy. Strategy. Tearing your ass up like it's an allergy. Your nose running, eyes watering. Is he crying because I'm coming? Fake niggas, break niggas, hate niggas, fake niggas. Niggas that talk shit but scared to carry weight, niggas. You look like the type. I want to stretch for the night just to keep my shit tight. Alright, because you ain't nice. Face facts, I'm open like the ocean. My notion is to hit these niggas with some shit to have them moving in slow motion. Open your eyes, don't act surprised. This ain't a lie. I told y'all niggas when I get on the industry. When my players are falling, my nigga, put your hands up. All my females getting that paper. Put your hands up. All my players are falling, my nigga, put your hands up. All my females getting that paper. Put your hands up. All my players are falling, my nigga, put your hands up. All my females getting that paper. Put your hands up. All my players are falling, my nigga, put your hands up. All my females getting that paper. Put your hands up.
All right, that was Put Your Hands Up by Rich Money, a.k.a. Cappuccino Shop. We're going to go to a couple more callers real fast. Okay. Welcome to GQ Palace. Can I have your name, please?
This is Tia. Am I on?
Yes, you're on the air, Tia.
Hi, how are you? Hi, Rich. How are you?
All right. How you doing, Tia?
I'm well. I don't know who the guy that spoke before just spoke before gave you the
Doc Kemp, yeah. That's my right hand man. My brother from another mother.
Right. Anytime someone can give you your flowers while you yet live, it's always a blessing.
That's right,
yeah.
That's right.
That's my dog right there. Ride or die, fan for life.
Wait for a funeral or wait for anything like that. Anytime somebody can give you props or give you however you want it, give you honor, you know, while you yet living and it's not at a funeral, it's always a blessing.
That's right.
Absolutely right.
Rich, I hear so much great things about you. People are talking. It's always a good thing because, you know, anytime somebody talks a good thing about somebody, you know that they're doing great things.
Right, that's nice.
Thank you.
I'm thinking you go a different direction in your life or career or whatever, not because, you know, you didn't want to do this, you didn't want to do that. Always think that God had other plans for you to do things.
That's right, God had a different plan.
But you are a gateway for other people, and when you open up a gateway for other people, you're becoming a blessing to those other people. So people will not forget the stuff that you have done, even though you're not doing your music, but you're opening up a gateway for other people that who want to get out there to do music and want to be able to come out there and talk about their music. This is your way of giving back, your way of, you know, they can come on the GQ Palace. You can give them, you know, the hour segment and everything. And that's always good because we're not out here stepping on each other's toes.
Right.
Not a good thing, you know. And when you always think, when you surround yourself around positive people, positive things happen.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, negative people, negative things happen.
Right.
But I'm a believer about, you know, you don't have to wait for a funeral or anything with somebody, whatever, to talk goodness about somebody else, because you can say it every day. Richie's doing a great job, great success, you know, keep up the good work. You know, there's a lot of evidence of things that's going to happen
that way because you're doing great things. And it's always somebody can say it while you're yet breathing.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
So thank my question to you, Rick, is was the weight or was the journey worth it all?
Oh, yes. I feel like it was worth it all. It really was. I feel like everything was done for a reason, like you said, and it was definitely worth the wait. Because who's to say what could have happened back then? So I choose not to look back at what could have happened back then and just focus on what's going on now and looking forward to the future. So it's okay. Definitely worth the wait.
Okay. And I saw that when you were talking about, you didn't let because the music didn't happen, you didn't let that bother you. You just did something else. You started, I always think, right mind thinks, I think they think out the outside the boundaries. When you think about outside the music didn't work, let me see if I could do this. I think that anybody who can think outside those boundaries and not limit themselves, you never know. Everybody has talent, you just don't know how to use them. But you'll learn how to use them.
Right.
I'm a believer about everybody has talent. The roles of the roles, they have talent. I'm a firm believer about everybody that has talent. They just haven't possessed it yet. And when they possess it, you're gonna surround yourself around those people. I'm always a firm believer about surrounding yourself around the right people.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that.
It's similar to people like not really knowing what their purpose is.
But exactly.
God has a purpose for you. You know, it's up to you to figure out what that purpose is and utilize it to the best of your ability.
So you don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sitting on the fence somewhere, sitting on the curb. You just can imagine how gifted that person, with the gift that person has.
Exactly. You're exactly right.
That has always been my mother, my parents have always, you just never know what somebody else can offer into this segment, into this world. I wish you a lot of Rich, and I'm a firm believer in what God has for you is for you. Can't nobody block that. Can't nobody deter you. Once your mind stays focused on something, I'm always a big believer about can nobody block anything what God has for you.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kia.
That's right. Well, Kia, I definitely want to thank you for being a big supporter of DC Palace, well as calling in tonight and giving your, kind words of encouragement as well, a lot of people are going to listen, and when people hear it, it's like the truth is golden, and when you can sit back and reflect on what you've done so far and what you're doing and what God has continued to do for you, I think that's a blessing by itself. So I just want to thank you for being a big supporter of DC Palace.
Yes.
We're going to go to another caller real fast. Just hold the line. Welcome to GC Palace. Now, your name, please.
Yes, this is Rachel.
Hey, Rachel.
Hi, Lavina. Hi, Rich Money.
Rachel.
I'd like to say to Rich, put your hands up while we salute you.
I'll throw a hand clap for that real quick.
I would like to say I am definitely blessed that I am a part of the GQ Palace family. Thank you. I would like to thank you, Rich, for believing in me. Thank you, Lavina, for introducing me to Rich. I thank you both, and I commend you both, and I love you both. I am greatly, greatly, greatly happy you're part of the
GQ
Palace family.
Wow, it's an honor to have you, Rachel.
Thank you.
Done a whole lot in a little bit of time. You've done a whole lot.
Thanks. I remember when I first was when Lavina would first start posting putting the post on my page, and I'm like, what the hell is a GQ Palace family? So then finally I'm like, all right, she called me. I'm thinking something's wrong, so she called me and said, I need you to go on. You need me to go on where? Just do what I tell you to do. I'm like, oh God, that's what GQ Palace is about. And I fell in love with the movement. I fell in love with GQ Palace, and I'm
so thankful, so thankful that I am a part of your dream, Rich Money. I'm so grateful. And I'm with y'all 100% for the rest of the ride. I ain't going nowhere. I
all
love
right.
y'all.
We ain't going to let you go either.
I'm not going nowhere. All right, well, put me on mute because I'm a busy mama tonight. I love y'all.
All right, love you
too. All right, love you too.
All right, we're going to go to another caller. Welcome to GQ Palace. Now, your name, please.
Jeremy.
Hey, Jeremy, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Yo, big up Rich Money. Jeremy.
Good looking, Jeremy. Thanks a lot, man.
You already know. Listen, we had a power thing one time. You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure. We definitely is. We definitely are.
No doubt. But I'm feeling the show, though. I'm feeling it. word, for real. Other than that, I got a question because it's being asked from the street. They want to hear, like, on the radio station or something like that. You got something going on like that?
Chat again?
People want to hear.
No, he doesn't have any tracks that's on the radio station.
Oh, that's what he said. No, I don't have no tracks that's on the radio station. Those was tracks that was from back then. Right now, I'm just dealing with GQ Palace Radio. My thing is to help the artists that's coming out now, and you know the comedians, the authors, the models. You understand? Like that's why I have people on general questions so they could also say how they feel and get that truth to the matter feedback. But as far as doing music, no, I'm not doing that no more.
Okay.
You beat our head. Rich Money fell out on the stage.
Damn. Word.
Oh, man.
All right.
All right. Well, we want to also thank you for being a big supporter of GQ Palace as well. You know,
you already know.
Thank you for calling in this evening. We definitely had a hot show lined up for everybody, and, you know, we sure did deliver it.
Yeah.
With that said, we do want to thank you, and please continue to listen, okay?
No doubt.
All right. Rich Money. Rich
yes.
Money. Okay, so based off the interview, for everyone that's listening so pretty much you've been in the music industry, you know, for over 20 years.
Yes, I've been. I was on cable TV. I was on. Dealing with being Rakim with their label. Like I said, Jeff Robinson, Alicia Keys' manager, Derek Williams, Rakim with Spice Drop Records, and Charlie D from the Dynamic Three. It was a lot. But, you know, you get to that point where, okay, you know, you want to switch up. So that's why I specifically switched up to GQ Palace and, you know, to help people out so they won't have to go through the same struggle, you know, deal with certain situations that I've done with, you know, when I was trying to get out there.
Right. So pretty much the vision and the goal, you know, for GQ Palace when you started was pretty much to make a platform, you know, for anyone that's looking to promote themselves in whatever the aspect is that they're looking to do, correct?
Exactly.
You know, you don't discriminate to any type of people. It's pretty much whoever's looking to promote themselves, you know, they contact
exactly.
you and, they, you know, you'll help promote them, you know, and after they're on the show and they're given the interview, you know, then you also put them, you know, in your magazine as well.
Exactly. I don't have everybody from film directors to entertainment lawyers to film authors, models, comedians, DJs, producers, promoters, pioneers, all everything. They all was on the show. I don't discriminate none. If you got a recipe that you choose, you want to talk about, you could call me. We're gonna talk about it. There's no discrimination on anything.
Okay, and I think it's a good thing that, you know, the original vision for GQ Palace, you know, was the one show that was able to help anyone that's looking to promote themselves. But you branched off, you know, a nice team there, you know, with the six shows and the eight different hosts.
You also mentioned earlier you have a promotional CD.
Yes, it's a promotional CD. It's from, it's called GQ Palace Hitting All Angles. And like I was saying, I have various artists on it, like the Force MD's exclusive track Nobody Heard, the Delphonics Review featuring Rick Ross, Rob Stash's featuring D-Block. You got Casanova Rudd on there. You got Anita Armstead. You got Boogie Black on there. You got Kate Desert on there. You got GQ, a.k.a. Q Public on there. It's 21 tracks, and it's something for everybody. You got Sicko, the main thing, on there. Red's vocals, Mike J. And the format of it is it's a party CD, but when you get down like you in a club, it all gets lowered to like slow jams and everything at the end of the CD. Which is something that I had told the artist that came on the show that I was going to do when GQ Palace first got started. So mainly what I'm doing, I'm just keeping my word of what I told the artist I'm going to do, you know, with the CD and everything. We gave some out in Harlem already, Brooklyn, Long Island. We're going to send some out to the GQ Palace team in Jersey and everything, to our family down south. So mainly, which works out for both, the artist and the GQ Palace.
Okay, now this, for everyone that's listening, DQ Palace, that's on Blog Talk Radio, is that nationwide or is that, you know, city to city?
It's worldwide, baby. We have people from Tijuana, Mexico call in, overseas call in. Yes, it's worldwide.
And, you know, and the artists and the producers, anyone that's looking to promote themselves, do they have to be just in New York or can they be from all over?
No, they could be from anywhere. There's no, like, they could be from Brazil, you understand?
Okay.
As long as they got the proper equipment and everything, there's no problem with you coming on the air.
Okay, so after, what's the next step for you? Like, in 5 years, what's your vision for DQ Palace? If you can say, okay, in 5 years, this is what I want to do. What are you looking forward to doing?
Like I said, by 5 years, I'm trying to do this within 1 year, maybe two. I'm trying to turn GQ Palace Magazine into Ebony Jet Magazine and turn the record label into Motown. And I'm actually working on getting the GQ Palace radio on an FM station. So
okay.
Hopefully that'll be coming along soon.
Okay, so pretty
that way
much
you can be in your car and listen to the station.
Okay, so are you pleased with the success of DQ Palace thus far?
I am very pleased. And you know what? I don't plan on turning back. When GQ Palace first started, we had a couple of situations, you know, on a radio station with some people that was dealing with GQ Palace, which, you know, everything's for a reason I had to get rid of. But with my team I got now, I'm pretty sure it's a strong team. And there's nothing for me to worry about. And we're definitely going to take it to the next level on each and every show, the magazine, the record label, and everything else that I plan on accomplishing with GQ Palace with my team.
Okay, so, look, that's your five-year plan. I believe you have a statement. It's something about the haters. What is that saying that you say so much on, you know, Facebook and on the social sites that GQ Palace is on?
Well, you got a lot of people, you know, I don't want nobody to take it the wrong way, but GQ Palace started a lot of things. And you got people that's saying they did this and they did that. My thing is, if you didn't do it, you know, I don't care if you've done it, but don't downfall me for doing something that I did that you want to try to take hand for. You understand? I wouldn't do it to you, so I wouldn't want you to do it to me. You understand? What I do with GQ Palace is I try to create new things. And with the haters, if y'all want to keep hating, you can hate me. Haters make me motivated. You know, haters motivate us. So to me, you motivate me more to doing things. And speaking of that, pretty soon I'm gonna have another GQ Palace. We'll have another Sunday show coming on. So look for that after the Spiritual Sunday. You understand? Because there's no limit to God's work.
All right, so what I want to do, if it's okay with you, we do have a caller that was trying to get in that was disconnected, so I'm going to see if I can possibly put that caller on the air real fast, and then we're going to go back to, when I finish up the interview, we're going to play your track, Undercover Thug.
Undercover Thug.
I'm going to ask you to explain that track, and then we're going to play that track as our outro this evening, okay?
All right. Sound good.
All right. Cola, are you there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Okay,
yes, we can hear you.
Can you hear the caller?
Yes. Yes, I can hear.
Okay. Hi, Rich Money. I wanted
Hello.
To know what motivates you in the morning, what gets you up. We all have bad days where we feel like, okay, today you're extremely tired, you're frustrated, you might be going through something. But what actually gets you up and going to say, okay, I got to get up today.
Well,
I got to get on my grind today.
Well, the first thing that gets me up is looking straight up and knowing the man above had got me up. That's
okay,
the first thing. The next thing is I think about my family, my kids, my fiance, and think about, okay, I got to do this. This is something that must be done. You understand? So it motivates me. You understand? And then when you sit there, it's a lot of things I choose to actually think about. You understand? Like Miss Polite just said, the haters. So you think about the haters, you think about the things that people do or try to sabotage certain things that you've done, it makes you motivated to be like, okay, this is what I'm going to do now. This is how I'm going to do this. I'm going to take it to another level. So you know what? You want to keep falling behind me? Follow behind me. But remember, you have to catch up. And I'm not going to let you catch up because I'm going to always be not two steps, not three steps, but maybe four or five steps ahead of you because it's going to take a long ride for you to catch me.
I wanted to say that you're doing a great, great job. Really proud of you. You are a very, very good role model.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Have a nice one.
You too. So, now, what I need to do now is figure out how am I going to take this to the next level of doing what I have to do at GQ Palace, which I'm pretty sure that's going to be, it shouldn't take no time at all. But I want to thank everybody for calling in. Miss Polite, I want to thank her as well.
Thank you. And we also want to thank you as well for taking the time out for allowing me to conduct this interview on you this evening so that you can, you know, just explain to, you know, some of the supporters and some of your, you know, your supporters, your family, your loved ones, exactly what your vision is and where you intend on going with it. But in closing, before we do that, you have a track, Undercover Thugs, is that correct?
Yes, it's called Undercover Thugs. Undercover Thugs is mainly about what I've been through in my time and how my peoples really get down with what they're doing. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly about, how can I say it? I want to say it in a way where I don't offend anybody. You understand? Because back in that time, you had a lot of people saying that they're this and they that and they do this and they do that. But when it came down to speaking real talk with my people that I rolled with, they did exactly what they said they were going to do, and we was a family. And that's from this day, I still keep in touch with a lot of them. Like I said, Dye's my right-hand man. That's my brother from another mother. And it's a lot of things that we've been through together. And I feel like Undercover Thugs state the fact of what we actually been through in our time.
Okay, so of course I do want to take the time out to thank Mr. Dakem, who was with Men Taking Action, who is also having an event tomorrow on Carlton Avenue in the Bronx, and I believe it's from 12:30 to 3 p.m. So if anyone gets a chance, make sure that you do, you know, go down and take a look at it and support, you know, bring a gift for, I believe it was infants, all the way up until the age of 6. And he'll be at a women's shelter tomorrow. So please make sure that you do take the time out
to just give back. You know, the holidays are here, and it's the time of giving. So if you can take a few minutes out to give back to someone, it's greatly appreciated. And I also want to thank you, you know, for all your hard work and your commitment to GQ Palace, and just for staying encouraged and staying positive at all times. You know, even though, you know, certain things did not work out for you, you know, God definitely has a plan for you. You know, so I just want to thank you, you know, for allowing me to be a part of GQ Palace, and just for being able to be there, you know, to work with you and, you know, to support you any way that I can. You know, you're a positive man of God, and you have a wonderful vision, and I'm just happy to be a part of that vision with you.
Thank you so much, Ms. Delight.
So with that being said, we're going to go to...
I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. You know, be safe, be blessed, and be careful out there.
And also, I know we switched up things this evening, but you did have other segments of the show. I don't know if you want to take the time out to thank everyone else for their participation in this evening's show.
Yes, I will. I want to thank Rachel, T, Doc Kim, Kia, Jerry, Jeremy, wow, so many. You, Miss Polite, the callers that called in, I want to thank you as well. And
the special guest for this evening.
Yes, the special guest.
Also thank KK for the general questions this evening. She had a wonderful general questions that she did. That was about, you know, when exactly do you leave a relationship that is abusive, you know, as well as we had up-and-coming artists. Also, she writes her own music. She's an author. She's a producer. She has a sitcom coming out, Diamond Perry, who also has a blog that she has that Nadia Khalid is working with her with. Nadia Khalid is an advocate for domestic violence. So we want to thank them for joining us this evening, as well as My Swagger Is Crazy.
Yes.
Swagger Like Us. You know, he'll be having an event December 31st at Sweet James in Harlem. So please make sure that you do. If you don't have nothing to do, make sure you get your tickets. We want to thank... We want to thank our tickets for the winners this evening, which was Shelly, Kitty,
and Kia,
who won tickets for this evening. I believe GQ Palace will be in the building to celebrate New Year's with Swagger Like Us, and we look forward to joining him as well for his birthday celebration that's in March. So with that being said, have a blessed and safe holiday weekend. And please make sure you check out GQ Palace and all the other shows. God bless.
All right. Good night.
You get bucked when I bust. I don't trust you fake thugs. Get no love from shy cuz. I'm all back with no slack. My cyclopedia format. The impact can blow cells. Tearing up your whole grill. Spitting flames is my thing. That lyrical shit that's I bring. I have you yelling louder than a bitch that's having liver pains. I hate games. Believe that. In a war, you don't want that. I have your blood dripping like molasses. I ain't laughing. I'm crucial. Fuck the voodoo. Your flow is moody. The crowd booed you cuz they knew you was doo-doo. I flow like no other. Flow like undercover. Breaking back some big cats with the lyrical stats. I pack. It's all that, you know that. My metaphor is kill cat. I just kick that shit that you can feel when I play track. I'm classy, living lavishly, getting cabbage jeans savagely, tearing up the industry completely. Bust a nerve with the curve of a lyrical verb. My words, you heard, superb. Got these haters on his spurs. Inconvenienced by the tiny web. Whoa, reverse your brackets to conceive. Now your body is cold, your soul is controlled by the devil. Here's a black rose, the coffin flows, cause the hole in your grill couldn't be filled. I raised niggas, put them in line, and then I slay niggas, blaze niggas, cause they was trying to impress these fake niggas. I roll with undercover thugs, that love the smother thugs, and crazy thugs, that love the shoot snug thugs. Bust you in your mud, leave you laying in your blood. One shot, that's it, no shit, your body's been hit. I roll with undercover thugs, that love the smother thugs, and crazy thugs, that love the shoot snug thugs. Bust you in your mud, leave you laying in your blood. One shot, that's it, no shit.
your body's been hit. I got the speed of a cobra, control you like an aroma. Leave your body colder than ice water before it's over. Your ass will get slaughtered trying to cross my border without an order. You get hurt when I do work, pulling up the mini skirt. You're out of pocket, watch it. I grab the heat and cock it. Talking shit, stop it. I bust the Glock and you drop it. That niggas is sick. I flip shit like a brick quick. Leave you a bitch when I kick shit. Flame lit. I'm tossing yours. You lost with yours. Try to be the boss with yours. Got turned to course. Niggas is soft. The horse heated in duck sauce. Get knocked off. The high horse when I floss. Watch how they break off. I minimize and minimize your brain when I'm on a rise. Put you in a ditch. Why? Cause you was trying to be live. I be that nigga. Be bigger to pull the trigger and get you. But it's alright. Like Jigga. And make this beat before I hit you. The boogie down swinger. In the miracle bringer. Air ringer. Put your brain in pain every time I see you. Leave it those whip like a cleavage. Believe it. Eat it. Treat it like Jeffrey Dahmer. So leave it. Believe it. I'm the worst nightmare. You hear? Giving niggas fear with tear. Cut out your Adam's apple. Have you gagging for air? That's only gonna start something. You'll get something. Acting like it ain't nothing. My click is coming. I roll with undercover thugs that love to smother thugs. Some crazy thugs that love to shoot stud thugs. Bust you in your mug. Leave you laying in your blood. One shot, that's it. No shit. Your body's been hit. I roll with undercover thugs that love to smother thugs. Some crazy thugs that love to shoot stud thugs. Bust you in your mug. Leave you laying in your blood. One shot, that's it. No shit. Your body's been hit. I roll with undercover thugs that love to smother thugs. Some crazy thugs that love to shoot stud thugs. Bust you in your mug. Leave you laying in your blood. One shot, that's it. No shit. Your body's